The recording started.
Okay, so I'd like to call the February 2018 Ruby Star Air Park board meeting into order here. It is now what? 10:03, so I thought we were going to be a little bit later, but that's good.
Yeah, that's really good.
All right, so looks like we have quite a host of people here today. So far we have, as board members here, we have Wendy Magris, we have Ron Allegrea, we have Ken Spaulding, and Ted Stanley is on the extended speakerphone right here, and I'm Pete Stogsdale. We also have several additional members here. We have Barry DeSimone. Thank you for coming, Barry, and setting up a computer-type conference system to be able to record and or work with us on our meetings. Jerry Haynes here. Well, we're having this meeting in Jerry Haynes' hangar, and he's helping us out with the IT stuff as well. We have John Thompson, John from Adam LLC, and we have a new person?
Trudy Ron.
Trudy Ron. Mm-hmm. Okay, I didn't catch the last name.
How do you spell the last name?
R-A-H-N.
Okay. We also have Sandy and Fran DeFazio with us as well, too. So, could pack room, and it's going to keep it nice and warm for us now. All right. All the introductions out of the way. Okay, very good. I guess it is now time for the infamous guest association members comment section. Anybody have any comments to start us off with this morning?
So I have a question. Trudy, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Are you with Adam LLC?
I am.
Okay.
Yes.
Has that been already?
I'm sorry.
So let me discuss real quick. We're implementing new internal systems at Adam. They would like me to champion that effort for them. They want me to come aboard full time and divest of all my HOAs. So Trudy has been kind enough to agree to take on Ruby Star Air Park. Trudy lives real close to here, just right down the road. And although she's only been with Adam a couple of months, she's had experience with one of our competitors for several years, so she's got a lot of HOA experience. I think you're going to like her very much. I know I do.
Well, I'd like to point out that it's been a pleasure working with John, and we'll look forward to working with you.
And my desk isn't far from his desk, so
good.
He's still very accessible. He can run, but he can't hide.
She has also informed me that she will not be covering the weed spraying operations at John.
Yeah, much to my chagrin.
Nobody wants to see me try to do that.
It
would not go well.
All right, very good. Anybody else?
Yeah, the reason I set this up the way I did was because I envisioned that you might want to have multiple screens attached to it. But this environment could be done on a laptop, a tablet. The tablet could have a second screen. You clearly don't need all this equipment. It just works very well. Oh, you can see it over there. Jerry dialed in using VoIP. And so if he were Ted up in Cape Cod, that's what Ted would be seeing. We find that the performance of Holly's mic, which is this thing, has been extraordinary. It's a $25 device. So this is going to be done lots of different ways. I just set it up this way because this is the stuff I had laying around. It's as simple as that.
Okay, very good.
And so, you asked me to put on here one other piece of data, the Roberts rules.
Yeah, we agreed last time to take a 10-minute.
Right, that's on here when you're
ready
to do it.
Yeah, it's an introduction. I want to keep it short.
So, Barry, how do people respond back to us, you know, if we had a question out to the membership?
So here's the, you can see this. This is a duplicated screen. Right now it's just RSA and Jerry are dialed in, but we would see a whole litany of people that are in here. And with here, they can chat in and send us messages that say, I wish to speak. And so whether I was here or at my house in Tortolita or anywhere in the United States, I can control the meeting and I can mute people, read their questions, and then when the board's ready to take questions, the board would see this, obviously, and say, okay, we're ready to take questions.
So we would see who's on there and who had a question?
Exactly. And their question. And I'm recording this session right now. It's recording the audio and the video. So this will create an MP4 file, which theoretically could go on Ruby Star's website, and anybody could view the meeting in their entirety.
At their leisure.
At their leisure.
So you can actually take, when I looked into this before, I couldn't take the recording from the system and put it onto the website. So you figured out how to do that. Okay.
What's the size, do you think, would be for for about a two-hour meeting?
Well, I don't remember, but it's manageable.
Okay, because the website's limited to 64 meg to be uploaded. Yeah. So even my recordings, I have to convert to a different format, then shrink it down. So
voice.
Two processes just to get my phone recordings up. So I hope the MP4 can get up there.
I can do it two ways, either MP3 or MP4.
MP3 is normally 1 megabyte per minute for voice.
Oh, yeah.
FYI. MP4, now you're talking video.
Or just excerpts of it.
That's it.
Is this part of the 3-minute limit?
No, I just want to say 3-minute limit, but we got a big schedule here, so I want to keep pushing here.
Is this when I bring this up, Wendy?
Well, Ron had something he wanted to bring when you get to comments from guest association.
Okay. Yeah, no, I thought you'd chime in anytime. So, do you have something else you want to add there? Who just joined us?
It was Ted, and what I did was to swap phones, so sorry about that.
Okay, gotcha. Louder. You're much louder now. Okay, Ron, do you want to do anything else into this section? 3-minute section here?
I suggested that he bring up his question about the drones during this.
He probably didn't see the email.
He did.
I just saw it, but yeah, that works. And so what I did is I bought one in, just so everybody could see it, real quick, like. And this actually ties in with what Barry is doing. And this is a small one, of course. And man, they don't get much bigger. But that's the size of that guy right there. They've gotten pretty smart, actually. These rascals, they're easy to control. They've gotten real popular. I think I wrote an email on it. It'll even work on hand gestures, but I don't want to try it out in here. and they have a good come home button on them. If you get lost or whatever, now if you lose sight of it, you just hit the button. The remote's right here, and it has a come home button on it. And what it does, they're really good for getting aerial views. And I was thinking. As far as promoting the air park, it's way safer to fly a drone with everybody knowing that you're flying the drone here and try to get good pictures of the air park than it is in an airplane trying to do a sight slip and take pictures. Number one. Number two, as far as the members only, and I think we're talking members only in here, it's hard to sell people who don't live here on the condition of the roads. And it's easy to upload that kind of video for it. And that actually would go here if we wanted to. I could actually get pictures, 12 megapixel pictures and 1080p video. And actually the drone that my son has a much longer limit. So you could actually run the perimeter of the fencing and check the fencing with it as well. So
the reason I suggested that Ron bring it up during this time is it's not on the agenda, so we really couldn't talk about it during the agenda, and it's just to introduce the subject, and then I think we need to decide whether we want to do something at the next meeting and put it on the agenda to discuss, or we discuss it over email, and then a motion would be made and all that. I'm just trying to say what I would.
In other words, you just got it late.
So it's not on the agenda, so we really can't make a motion and decide anything on it, but.
Right.
It's to introduce the subject.
Okay, yeah, good subject. I mean, so this is the second time within the month that we had, requests for unmanned stuff. You know, it was like the guys from Worldview wanted to actually do their testing out here as well, too. Mm-hmm.
Did they?
Fortunately, I got them. I pushed them out to El Tero instead.
Worried about explosions, are you?
They had a couple other things, but
I got a rubber band on it just for. Safety for the battery.
Okay. Anybody else?
Oh, God.
I'm sorry? I guess not. Okay, let's move on then. So we have, we need to review and go for the approval of the January board meeting minutes. I guess everybody's had a chance to look at them. Anybody have any comments?
Hello?
This is on mute.
Hello?
It's on mute.
Somehow. I'm on mute.
How did it get on mute?
Okay. We're are you there?
You hear us now?
Oh, you know what? You put your thing on the thing and muted
Ted,
it.
Did you hear us now?
He hung up.
You're back again.
Okay.
Yeah, apparently we had a minor malfunction here. We set an object onto one of the speakers here. Okay, so basically, Ted, we were basically into the port here where I was looking for anybody have any comments about January's board meeting minutes.
I move to approve the January board minutes as written and reviewed through email.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a...
I have an issue.
Okay.
A couple of small items on the minutes. Page one. Let me know if and everybody.
We're following on page one.
Okay. So treasurer's report, the third line from the bottom. It should read last few words to present such information on each balance sheets.
You mean the amount?
Minor typo.
I need the minutes on these screens.
Yeah. Do we have the minutes on screens?
Yeah, he can scroll it up and down.
Oh, okay.
Do you want
to? Barry, can you scroll up to the section on the January minutes that he was talking about?
Under the treasurer's report.
Can Ted see it now?
Well, Ted's got it.
I know he's got a copy, but I'm just saying, so go this through is a dry right. run if anybody else.
I don't think Ted's right in. That's
still on the jump drive?
No.
Okay. So here's the jump drive.
Go ahead, Ted.
So, again, on page one of the draft minutes of the January 23 meeting, in the paragraph, treasurer's report, third line from the bottom. And in the mid-sentence, it says, and the board agreed to present such information.
Okay.
I would add the word on future balance sheets.
That's duly noted. Thank you.
And then the second item that I noticed is on page two, the CC and R voting results to date. The second paragraph and the line that begins near the bottom of the second paragraph, the board agreed to include the retooling of the mission statement. I don't think that that's correct because we're not retooling the mission statement because we currently don't have one.
Yeah, good point.
So I offered that we would... to include the creation of a mission statement.
I agree.
No problem with that.
Good catch.
Is that it, Ted?
That's it.
I amend my motion to approve the minutes of the January meeting with the two items noted by Ted.
And I'll be second.
At this point, you say any further discussion?
Yeah. Any further discussion? Okay. I guess the anybody have?
What's the
call
word
for the vote now? Yeah.
What's the word we're using for retooling?
Creation.
Creation. Okay. Creation. Check that. Okay.
So all in favor?
Any else say any further comments? Yes. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Ted says aye.
Okay. Ted says aye as well. Pass.
Just as a question, if one board member goes nay, say I agreed to it, but one board, what's the procedure after that?
Nothing. It still passes.
Because it's a majority.
Yeah, and it gets noted in the minutes that there were who voted how. Then the names need to be included as far as how each person voted.
Okay. Okay, moving on. Treasurer's report.
This is where, so I'm the treasurer, but John always makes the report, right. And then I say that's great because we've talked.
Is this going to continue?
Will you continue to create the financials and then talk to it here? Yeah, great, lovely.
Barrett, would you like to go down with financials, or are you into a thumb drive? Keep going. Keep going. Page down. Keep going, page down. You'll see financial statements. There you go.
For me?
That's the first page of the financial statements. That's page one of the balance. The financial statements is the balance sheet as of January 31st, 2018. Just as a refresher, since we do have some new board members in here, the financial statements present actually two separate financial statements, one for the operating fund and the other for the reserve fund. We use fund basis of accounting, which are two self-balancing financial statements in one. The balance sheet presents the funds in separate columns, both self-balancing. So you'll see the total assets equals total fund balance and liabilities and fund balance. As of January 31st, on the balance sheet, we have approximately $31,000 in operating cash and $28,000 in reserve cash. If you flip to the next page of the financial statements, you'll see and the operating fund income statement. We'll present two income statements, one for the operating fund, one from the reserve fund, and both income statements will roll into the balance, respective fund's balance sheet. The operating fund income statement presents the normal operations of the association. We present this on a cash basis, which means that revenue is not recorded until cash is received or a check is deposited, and expenses aren't reflected until a check is dispersed or cash is dispersed. It's nothing more than a fancy bank statement. For the month of January, you'll notice that the current period and year-to-date are the same because it's January. For owner assessments, we budgeted $15,500, which assumed two delinquencies. We fell below that by about $3,500. All of it relates to delinquencies. We had 14 delinquencies as of January 31st. We'll discuss the individual delinquencies in our executive session, but it should be noted that as of today, 7 have paid.
So 14 delinquencies. Now, last year, it was much lower than that in January, right?
That's right.
Yeah, because normally we see this because of the prepays in December, and you're saying that's not the case this time.
No, prepays only account for $500 of the variance. The remainder of is four delinquencies. We have 14 delinquencies, which equates to about $3,500,
okay,
which is almost exactly the variance.
Okay.
For expenses, general administrative, we only had a $100 positive variance compared to budget. Not worth discussing. For the airpark expenses, the common area expenses, we had a $922 positive variance, all related to landscape and pavement repair, of which that's just a timing difference at this point. We believe that those amounts will eventually be spent.
I'd like to point out also that the reserve fund is higher than we usually have in January, because usually we spent all our reserve funds by the end of the year on road maintenance. The road maintenance really does suck up every cent we have.
The most expensive component of the reserve fund. If you switch to the next page, this is in the income statement for the reserve fund. The reserve fund is for betterments and improvements in the air park assets. And in January, we had a gate improvement expense that was to install. It was a second component of the security cameras system at the gate. And that was the final payment, other than a small payment subsequent to that to reimburse the contractor for some electrical problems he encountered, which was very kind. Thank you very much.
Do you want to talk to that paper? Okay.
That's all I have for the financial presentation. Are there any questions or comments on this?
Comment on the security system? No. What is that data you get retrieved as far as entering or exiting the airport?
There's a inside the gatehouse, which is now locked with bars on the windows. There's a metal container which houses the unit that controls it all.
We have an agenda item for gate security update.
Yeah.
There's further discussion.
Yeah, we'll get down to that and talk about it a little bit. Okay, so just had our treasurer's report. Any further comments, questions?
Any motion to approve the minute or approve the report?
Traitor.
Well, I don't want to approve my own report.
I'll make a item to approve the treasurer's report as written.
I'll second.
I'll second it.
Okay.
We got 2 seconds.
We got 2 seconds now. Okay. Any further comment? Okay. Do we have enough votes to pass it?
I vote aye.
Aye.
Okay. Ted?
Aye.
Very good. Okay. I guess the motion passes. Accepting the treasurer's report as written. Okay. Old business time. We have several items on here. First one, I think, is Ron, this is your request, right? Modalities of association member participation?
Hmm. That's the link.
The link?
Yeah.
What?
That link that I sent you on the Robert's Rules order?
Oh, sure. And here it is.
Susan Leahy here from robertsrulesmadesimple.com. Now, whether you're a part of a homeowners association or a church group or a student organization or even a city government, one of the things that I understand about...
And I checked. If Ted was in, he would see it like that, and he would hear it also.
All groups is that it's essential for people to understand the basics when it comes to Robert's Rules of Order. Too many of my clients struggle with really just kind of learning the basics. So instead of having productive meetings, what you end up is having meetings where people are just stumbling over what I consider to be the basic building blocks of this language. So while you already may know that in my DVD, I go over what I call the 7 fundamental motions used during most meetings, this video is to talk to you about what I consider to be the 3 most important motions used during most meetings. Now, why are they the most important motions? Because they're the most used. But interestingly enough, they're also the most widely misused. So if you're going to be using these motions, I'm just asking you, pleading with you, begging with you, remove some of the pain and the stumbling blocks by committing to learn these 3 very basic motions. Now, these motions are the main motion, amendments, and amend the amendment. Let me say it one more time. The main motion, amendment, and amend the amendment. Now, if you already know how to do these 3 basic motions, I applaud you. But what I want you to think about doing is how are you going to teach your board members how to use these 3 basic motions? Because it's not enough for you to know them. You've got to make sure everybody on your board at least knows these 3 motions so that you can start having more productive meetings. So let's talk a little bit about the main motion. The main motion is how you really bring business to the assembly. Before you have a main motion on the floor, you're just talking about information. And while information is important, it's not business. You transition into business by making what is called a main motion. The main motion starts with, I move. Go ahead and say it with me. I move. So simply stated, I move. What are we going to move? Let's say, I move to purchase 1 DVD for our organization. So now you've got business that's being put before the assembly. As you may recall from the DVD, after you have a main motion on the floor, you have to take what's called a second. Is there a second to the main motion to purchase 1 DVD for our organization? Once the main motion has been properly moved and seconded, now you can have what I call focused discussion. Now, in my opinion, this should be the new F word. It's focus, people. It's all about creating focus. Think about how powerful a laser is because it can focus. So many boards lose their power because they're not able to focus collectively. They get all screwed up and end up going off topic because people aren't focused in a common direction. The main motion helps us to have a focused discussion to ultimately make a collective decision. Now, let's talk about the next motion. So if the main motion brings business before the assembly so that we can have focused discussion about that motion, what is an amendment? Now, let me just back up as I say this. The main motion is the motion. Every other motion you're going to make using Robert's Rules of Order is about supporting that main motion. So an amendment is either going to add to or subtract from the main motion. So let me give you an example of what an amendment can look like. So if we chose to purchase how many DVDs? One DVD. We can amend the motion by maybe striking out one and inserting three. So now the amendment is really about talking about how many DVDs we're going to buy. Now again, the amendment helps us to have focused discussion about the many changes that we would like to make to the what? The main motion. So the amendment is supporting the actual main motion, how robust it's going to be, actually what it's going to say. So let's just think about how important those amendments are. Now, why are making amendments so important? And I want to just kind of put this out there. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. The reality is, while we want boards to move quickly, they cannot make quick decisions. They have to do it one manageable bite-sized chunk at a time. And that's really what an amendment is. It's a manageable bite-sized chunk of change that we want to make to the main motion. So as a board, we need to collectively agree on this amendment or disagree on this amendment before we go back down and we start discussing the main motion. Now, let me take it one step further. There is then amend the amendment. When I go in and I work with my organizations, these are the three motions that I make sure everybody understands, because they really are the building blocks that help you have great meetings. If you don't know how to make a main motion, an amendment, and an amendment to the amendment, then you're going to waste time, and you're going to ultimately waste money, and you're going to create a lot of frustrated people in the progress. So if our amendment, well, let's go backwards. Our main motion was what? To purchase one DVD. Then there was an amendment that was made. The amendment was to strike out one and insert three. Now, right now, we're only talking about the number. So I can't come in and make another amendment about what type of DVD. I need to keep it about the quantity. So it's about specific change. So how can I amend this amendment? Make another small, manageable change so that we can talk about it before we vote on it. That's right. I can maybe increase the number of DVDs that I want to buy. So maybe I move to amend the amendment by striking out three and inserting six. Right, see if I can hold all these, right? And inserting six. So now what we're talking about is having focused discussion about the six, the quantity, the number of instructional DVDs that we want to buy for the organization. Now take a deep breath. This is a lot of information, and I'm not expecting you to get the main motion, the amendment, and the amendment to the amendment all in this one video. What I'm hoping to do is to create a case about the importance of really committing yourself and your board to learning these three basic motions. You can do that by calling me, and I can provide coaching to your chairs or your individuals on your board. You can do that by watching the DVD. You can do that by going in and reading Robert's Rules of Order. But however you do it, do it. It will exponentially increase your board's effectiveness. Again, thank you for your time and happy meetings. My name is Susan Leahy.
I kept it short. Sorry about the sales. But I've never seen the amend the amendment used, and I thought that was...
Just keep in mind that Robert's Rules is a great method of progressing a meeting and keeping it succinct. But it's not required by homeowners associations. They can freeform around the Robert's Rules whatever they feel comfortable doing. The most important thing is that the meeting moves forward and it's succinct. I've seen a lot of boards get paralyzed by the Robert's Rules because, you know, when you're having all this in your mind, an amendment to an amendment and trying to stay strict to it, some people get paralyzed. So the most important thing is keep it free flowing, comfortable, and succinct.
You know Robert's Rules. You know? So you know what we're talking about, the Robert's Rules?
Sure.
So you would be able to point out if there was a misstep.
I wouldn't point out a misstep unless I would help progress the meeting if I see it stalled. So again, the Robert's Rules is not required to be followed by the homeowners association. It's a wonderful suggested method. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I guess it depends on how close we want to be.
Just add a final thought. I'm part of the TRS group that's Tucson Trail Riders, and they put on a lot of off-road activity here in southern Arizona. George Weissopel, a retired Raytheon employee, is the president of that association, and he follows a Robert Rule of Order in a group. I think they've got about the same number of board members as we do, but the people that show up at the restaurant is for this meeting. It's near South 6th area over there downtown. Is normally they pack the restaurant with at least 75 people, and it amazes me to see that many people, and everything stays in order. And he keeps it in order. He really follows this. I've been very impressed with him. How he keeps that. So
there's probably beer though. There.
Beer helps.
The only variation from Robert's rules that associations need to consider, based on new laws that were passed in August of last year, are that before a vote is taken, association members have a chance to voice any comments they had before any vote is taken. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Okay. So that was not a motion type of objective here, right? It was just basically education of the board?
Yeah, okay. We talked about it last month. Okay. And, of course, a lot of that included the video setup, Barry working together, getting all this up.
Right. So was your intent, Ron, to basically just kind of formalize how we do our discussion with the board and how we conduct
keep the knife sharp. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? I think I've seen a lot of meetings, and this is no reflection on Wendy. I've seen where they've gotten a little bit out of hand, and Wendy did try. I'm not dissing on you. I'm sorry, but I think if we not just educate the board, but we have 5 or 10 minutes, and that's my word to you, to the board, is keeping it 5 or 10 minutes, just on just little things about the, you know, it's not unlike flying. I mean. Mm-hmm.
Well, and like flying.
Like a peer review.
Recurrence training.
Stuff comes up every once in a while. And, you know, it's like I said, different boards that I've been on, stuff like that. We tend to loosely follow the Robert's rules. But, you know, the sole intent, obviously, is to get through the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that seems to be, you know, kind of like the mission for all the board members to keep in mind, is that, you know, we're trying to make our comments, our decisions, and our emotions to keep the meeting flowing. And if you think that we're doing something, you know, that could be done better, you know, please let us know.
My flying could be better. Yeah, well, Robert's
there, there is nothing everything. We can do to fix
that. There's nothing we can do to fix this flying?
I was the one that showed up in an airplane this morning, so.
Yeah, okay. All right, so any further discussion on this one right now?
That was a good feeling, thank you.
I mean, it was an interesting video, but it actually gave me more questions than it actually answered. Mm-hmm. Provided answers for
me. Hey. Go ahead, Ted.
Hi. I'm not quite sure how to raise my hand other than to call your name. I basically agree with Ron's, affection for Robert's rules and how it can make our meetings more effective. Might add to that that where we fall into more complicated issues, that procedurally it would be useful if we had issues that required significant discussion, that we simply create a small subcommittee of a couple of members or whatever to examine the issue and then bring it back to the board. With the results of their investigation, shall we say, and I think that would further help us to make better decisions and have shorter meetings.
Yeah, Ted, this is Pete. I kind of agree, because our next item here, the 2018 goals, including refreshment of the airpark mission statement, stuff like that, this was kind of like you're discussing here, because we actually made a motion, I believe, last time to actually come up and formalize a mission statement before we actually proceeded on the CCNR stuff. So, mm-hmm. like we've mm-hmm. done, like you just suggested, you know, I think that that's a good thing to do, because, you know, you've basically been working on it. We've done a little bit of discussion on it, and and that could eat a lot of time during our meetings here. So, okay, so are we going
to would like to pile on to that. Anything that can be done prior to the meeting such that we're ready to just take, you know, make a motion and do the final discussion and then vote on it is very, very helpful. Trying to investigate and learn during a meeting.
Right. And I feel that the 10-minute investment that we do, my word to the board, I say, 10-minute investment, I think will pay some rich dividends.
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't talking about learning here. I mean, like, when we discuss subjects, yes. big subjects, we need to do our learning, our homework before the meeting so that we come in prepared to take a vote. You know, that's...
Yeah, I'd like to actually, you know, come up with some sort of mechanism that we actually can spread our information amongst the board members and the membership so we can actually become more familiar with these items prior to showing up at the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to mean a little bit of homework. For instance, one of the things I was looking at this week is that, okay, every one of these items on here, different board members have the input or have the information, and I would like to encourage everybody who like to basically put forward an item for motion to give us some background information and share it with everybody so everybody can see what's on the docket before we actually show up here.
I think that would
help out because it would slow. We can come here with more questions, more direct questions, and also we might actually even start thinking about solutions and or issues that we can do before we get here. One of the things that I don't like doing the board is sitting there having the roundtable discussion and really kicking something down the road. But I think when we get to the board, we actually should have pretty much our thoughts already formulated so we can actually move on here. So I would like to...
And possible solutions.
Yeah, with the possible solutions. So I would like to... I don't know if this is necessary for a motion or anything, but I would like to have everybody start thinking about that for our next and coming meetings this year. Whenever you have an item that you want to put on the agenda, be sure that you supply some background information with it and some possible solutions. And if you don't have any, just say so. And maybe some of the other board members or membership could actually provide some of that information. So we have a little bit of reading assignment to do before we actually show up to the board. I mean, you know, like typically today's reading assignment, oh, let me get the meeting draft board meetings. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about today. Great. But there's a whole lot more that goes into it.
Yeah.
So I would like to, you know, do this. Yeah, still doing some little preparation before we hit the board meetings by that. Yes, Ted?
I'd like to move that the board fully supports your sentiment and that of Wendy's, and you get a round of applause.
Second. Especially to the whole membership.
Yeah, it would be to the membership.
That is very...
Because I think that it's something that I don't want to be caught in a situation and said, oh, we're doing something secretive here because we're talking... Mm-hmm. No, it's the membership that needs to be included in this stuff.
I have one comment.
Yes.
When you send it out to the entire membership, can it be blind, BCC?
It should always be blind.
I know what you're asking.
Right. I just thought I'd throw that out there because nobody mentioned making sure it was DCC.
Okay. When you do
so
that.
What I started doing to avoid the issue with personal information and so on is I stopped sending anything out myself. I had John always send out any emails to the membership because otherwise it got to where people were saying, hey, I didn't want my... you know, email out there and so on. So John sends stuff out, BCC, and if comments come back, they come back through John.
That would be a really good way to do it.
That's fun. Yes. It's just that does not...
Or Trudy.
The new John.
How John does it, but Tops does do community emails. Right? With addresses.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we're not going to be using Tops.
No, we're not using
Tops for stuff. He's a computer over there. But anyways, generally, yes, most management companies will say, please don't give out everybody's, because then you got all of this stuff coming in and everybody's reading it, they're getting confused.
Mm-hmm.
It's just better to BCC it, for sure. And I'm happy to do that. Once you guys say green light, let me know. I'm happy to disseminate anything out you like.
Okay, Ted, you had something?
Pete?
Yes.
It's Ted. I agree strongly with Wendy, and it would be helpful, at least from my end, if people would speak one at a time.
Okay, we'll try.
I hear people talking a little bit over each other, and I realize that's a difficult discipline, but if you can, that'd be helpful.
Noted.
I just might add one little thing to the, as far as, you know, just to amplify a little bit with respect to creating a little subcommittee or whatever. You know, for complicated issues, I think it's best if a subcommittee works on something and comes up with something and then presents that out to the rest of the board and then to the rest of the membership. If everybody gets to weigh in simultaneously at the beginning, it gets very messy and complicated and difficult to deal with. So it's sort of an expanding inclusion, if you will.
Okay, yeah, it sounds like we'll have to come up with a standard procedure for how to determine what needs to go on a smaller committee versus one that can just be, you know, shared.
Right.
I have a question. If I have an issue with something, for instance, road maintenance, and I want ABC road done, now I would have to go through you in order to make my concerns known, and then you would give me the committee's email addresses so that I can...
I think that's...
How would that work?
It'd be by direction how you guys want to handle that.
I would suggest that she just email the board, and then we would put it on the agenda for the next meeting or something like that.
Well, is that kind of like, you know, what you're saying is that you have an issue that you would like to see something done.
Right. Exactly.
And you want to know what the route is or what the procedures are.
And I would actually say, it doesn't even have to go on an agenda. A lot of times the board discusses things by email informally, and if it doesn't require a vote, then we don't need to do it at a meeting. It can just be incidental work, or it has to be done.
The reason I'm asking is that I don't have emails of anyone at all. So if I have an issue...
It's on the website. It should be on the website.
And anytime you really don't know, just call me.
Yeah,
that's what I'm asking, what the procedure
will
be.
You're always welcome to call me.
Yeah.
But as far as
I guess that's a question. Are we all okay with our emails being out there? Mine is out there. So.
I think our emails are already public domain.
That's what I thought.
But I think the fact that we direct everything to Adam LLC, I mean...
I don't think we have to. That's. I don't want to. I don't know.
Pete? Yes, Barry.
Number one, this solves the duplexing issue that he was complaining about. Number two, if you use the technology properly, we can anticipate those subjects. We can put them on the website, and therefore, when you guys come, you've already discussed it. Plus, you can leverage the asset that you have in the membership. If we know as members what's coming up, if we see this is coming up, we can say to you, okay, if you put this kind of flood drain system in, it's going to work better because we did it in Indianapolis. You've got to use this technology to leverage our joint skills.
I think that's super valuable. I mean, you know, we'll have to make the decisions as to whether or not, you know, we take everybody's thing and combine it into one big idea. Sometimes, you know, time restraints won't let us do that. Sometimes we might find out there's certain individuals that actually have a really key understanding of a certain point there, and we might actually bring them into our committee. We need to have more information out and about. Gathering the information and disseminating the information is going to be the challenge. So we're going to have to work on this. I don't actually have a working model that I would like to employ to this, but I would like to see us actually start bringing this stuff up and networking a little bit better if we could.
I'm telling you, I do this 5 times a week with trading groups around the United States, and I prepare the agenda, I prepare the subjects, give people an opportunity to think it through, and then we have the meeting, they're ready.
We may be talking afterwards, Barry.
Works for me, brother.
Okay. So... You want to move on? You have further comments on this?
I'm not sure where we are right now.
Okay. I would like to go back to our second item right here. And I don't know if we had...
Are we talking about 2018 goals?
I don't
think...
May I back up to the first subject real quick? Does anyone have an issue with video solutions as far as us being recorded? Is that your idea, intent eventually, is to get people's faces on the... Or is it pretty much just as we see?
The only intent that I have is real specific. I would like to see us make progress. Okay? And technology to me is a wonderful tool.
Oh, thank you.
If you don't want to record faces, I'm fine with that. Theoretically, I didn't have to bring anything. Because Jerry's already demonstrated, I could be doing what I'm doing here at home, and I could control the chat. And so when you were ready as the president to say, okay, are there any questions? You would say, Barry, are there any questions? And I would simply post them and say, okay, Mary or Holly, go ahead with your question. And you can control it, even though we're thousands of miles away.
Interesting tool.
I do it every day.
Interesting tool.
But is there a speaker involved?
Sure.
On the, I mean, no.
You know, you paid for this.
Yes, I did.
Yes. I was prepared to practice with you yesterday, but you got sick. That's okay. Mm-hmm. We can do that. You can assign me. Say, Barry, we have four members that want to be part of this meeting. Okay? Work with them so they're ready for Tuesday's meeting.
That's awesome.
And that's what we had in mind. I don't want to do this during the meeting because you guys come together once a month for an
right.
hour.
Right.
So you just do it in advance, and that way she's ready, he's ready.
Okay, we gotta make this work because we have too much to do.
Right? There's a learning curve, Pete.
Yes,
but that doesn't mean we can't topple that.
Let's start. Let's make some mistakes.
Yeah.
Let's
Let's make some mistakes, but let's get started. You bet.
Could I make a suggestion?
Okay.
We have such apathy that we need to make a concerted effort to let people know that they can participate in the meeting, and I would be willing to do an outreach to make sure that, like a poll or can you come, to try to get more people at the meeting, even if it is through technology.
Well, I don't have any problem at all if you want to start pinging the membership and asking them to participate more. I mean, truly.
Through Adam.
Yeah, through you know what the means that we get set up here.
Yes.
You know, if you can basically advertise it even further than we're going to be able to.
So you're volunteering.
I am volunteering.
Yes.
Even though I haven't finished my first volunteering effort, although I'm ready to report on it.
Yes, Ted.
Hey, Ted. The woman who was just speaking. Who was that?
I'm sorry. That was Holly.
I slipped in at 10:30.
That was Holly.
Wait, what is her name, please?
Holly Smith.
Oh, Holly. Oh, okay. Very good. Thank you.
Okay. So that's going to take a lot of work because I have to learn how to do it, and I think we're going to have to get into the habit of trying to share the information and figure out how best to make it. Barry, I like your idea. We're going to have to talk and see if we can make it work better. Because we just got so much stuff that needs to get done, and you need to have good information to get it done. All right, I would like to move on. Okay.
One quick question from Ted, which is, I sent out some information to the board regarding the mission statement, and I heard no response, so I'm wondering if it was received.
Was that the one that you sent me an email this morning or a text message to check the email this morning? And Ted, I apologize. I have not had a chance to get that. Is this a different one?
No, I think I sent it about a week ago and I'll resend it if we got it.
Ted, I got it and I reviewed it. I don't think we have that actually on the agenda for today to review. Today, my understanding of the agenda was to review the goals, and
that's fine.
I would suggest that everybody do homework and review it and provide input back to Ted, so that maybe next month it can actually be an agenda item and we approve it.
Well, I have to go back and look at it. I don't remember seeing it. It most likely got to me, but I probably lost it.
It was about two pages. I have some initial comments.
Okay, I'll have to do it. Ted, I apologize. I do not remember seeing that email.
I will resend it, and then wait to hear back from individuals for comment.
Well, since
I'm not seeking it to be discussed now.
at the risk of really diverting things, I had one major comment on the mission statement, and that was that it was rather long, Ted. And I don't know, just me, I'm used to very, very short, concise mission statements so that it just hits you over the head with what the intent is. And I felt it was a bit long for that. So that was my big, broad comment. And I was going to try to do a, you know, maybe a one or two sentence one based on the same sentiments that you had, which I agreed with the sentiments. I thought they were very good, actually.
And I did as well. And again, with mission statements, it's always best to start long to get succinct. So, well done, Ted.
Right. I threw it out for comments, and I'm delighted to have comments back and try to recraft it based on the comments.
Wonderful.
So,
do goals?
Huh? Yes. So,
if you want to keep moving, that's great for me because I gotta literally fly a flight at about 2:15.
Okay, very good. So
my time.
Okay, let's jump off the mission statement for a moment. We actually had a listing on there to do 2018 goals.
I have a list of what I think they are. If maybe we should all put forth what we think our lists are.
I agree. Okay. I would actually like to see everybody compile a list of goals and then let's work them down into a.
I should have sent them out earlier.
I didn't see the goals there. So basically, you know, we basically were going to start talking about goals, but I believe that. You know, we all have some similarities and we all have some differences as well, too. I would like to actually get everybody's goals, you know, added and basically go through them and figure out which ones that we feel are A, you know, doable within our time frame, the remainder of this year, as well as if things can be, you know, bootstrapped or assisted to happen faster and stuff like that. I don't have a list of goals.
Do you want to spend 10 minutes right now or some 5 minutes or because I think we punted last month as well and I hate to do it again.
I think of it that should be done sooner than later.
Yeah, okay, so we're almost 11 o'clock here, so
I'll go real quick. Number one, I think rules and regulations need to be ratified and it's on the agenda for today, so I hope that's a slam dunk, mainly because we've punted on enforcement for so long. That's my number two priority, is to get into a regular mode of keeping up with enforcement of our rules. Number three is the mission statement, and it's normally you'd want the mission statement to be number one, but we already have rules that we've let go for so long that I think we just need to move forward with them first. So just to recap, one, rules and regulations, two, enforcement, three, mission statement. I had four bylaws because our bylaws is something we have control over and we can actually get that done in relatively quick order. Number five is maintenance. It's just a constant thing we do. Number six, there's continue to be a lot of questions about water, both from the loans and from the, can we reinstate the old water system, which there's a lot of questions there and I don't want to get into the details. But I have that as number six. Just having a position on water, I think, is important. Seven, this comes out of the blue, but mailboxes. We need to do something about mailboxes. And that's it. That's what I have
right
now.
Can you say why?
Because we have three sets of people moving in the next 3 months, and we need to do something about that. So, and I can talk more about
So mailboxes, really, that's not a goal. It's just something we need
to
do.
What was four?
It's just something we need to do, but it's been on the list of things to do.
What did you have for four?
I had bylaws.
Should you have some seminars on that?
No, I didn't. Okay. I think we've got so much work to do.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's my list, and somebody else might have a different list.
Okay, we just went through Wendy's list there. So go ahead, Ted.
I'd like to move that each board member, consider compiling a list and that we share each other's concerns together, figure out, you know, a list of items in order of importance submitted by each board member. And
this session is no longer being recorded.
Each other with list, figure out where they coincide, and then as a group, we figure out the punch list and work it from there.
The recording has started.
Okay, good. As we're getting back to things here, I was thinking last time we were together, we were talking, man, we need to really get the mission statement going before we actually came up with the goals, because it's going to be driven by our mission statement. And I think that's why I did not actually sit down and produce. Ron's nodding his head as well, too. I think that I was actually waiting for us to finish up our mission statement. I thought we'd get that done, but neither here nor there.
I disagree with that because I think the mission statement is part of the things we need to accomplish this year, and it could take us a while, especially as we try to get comments from the membership, which I think we do need to do on the membership, on the mission statement.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, your items 1, 2, and 4, I think, are definitely goals. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, the items like maintenance, that's just something we do. You know, water system, that's something we need to look into. I mean, it's a goal. I don't know. It's something we're definitely researching. Yes. You know, a goal means we're going to try to solve it by the end of the year.
Well, there were two parts to that. One was loans and putting in shared well agreements if necessary, mm-hmm. which is a tangible thing that I think needs to be done, as well as whether we do anything on the old water system.
Okay, yeah, and like mailboxes, it's just something we just need to do. That's not so okay. much a goal item there. So, Ted, you're basically saying that we should basically come up with our individual list of goals, and then we should basically discuss them and put them in stone?
Basically, I think we should fix the leak and then bail the boat, not the other way around.
Okay, please clarify.
Okay. What that means is that to have a strong basis from which to move forward is, in my view, a better way to go than to move forward without having a basis. In other words, I'm afraid, Wendy, I disagree with you that I think the mission statement is important. And that we should move forward with that, and I will resend what I sent last week. And then from there, we move on to the CC&Rs and so on, and work from a hierarchy. And you know, clearly, we can't abandon some of the things that are physical and required, like road maintenance and that sort of thing. But I think it's important that we have a basis to you know, commonality of thinking from which to move forward.
So, Ted, I basically agree with you. I agree we should be working the mission statement very hard right now. I completely agree. But I don't want to lose sight of the fact that we've had rules and regulations dragging along for 2 years now. We haven't ratified them, and we keep waiting for something else to finish before we do the rules and regulations. And so at some point, I feel it's important to just move forward on that piece while we do the other ones in parallel. That's all I'm saying.
How much longer do you think that we're going to take to... Ted, this question directed to you. How much longer do you think it's going to take us to pretty much nail down the mission statement? Just while I was glancing at Wendy's two-page device right there, it looks like there's a lot of items right there. You're just waiting for our feedback, and then we're basically going to run from there?
Absolutely. As soon as I get feedback on what I sent out, and again, if you didn't get it, I will resend it to everybody. But as soon as I get that back, I'll work on it straight away and recraft it as many times as is necessary to find a common agreement, and then we'll move on from there.
Okay. So I think we should make that a priority. Because, I like Wendy's sentiment that we really need to get going on these things. We just keep pushing things down the road, and I don't want to push things down the road anymore. I think we actually need to get these things pulled together pretty quickly here.
I agree with that.
All right, so how do we move forward on this then? We're going to basically, you're going to resend your mission statement, we're going to review it, and then say in the next day or two everybody can make comments on it?
Sure.
And then we can basically.
Are you going to put it out for comment to the membership?
I think we need to. Yeah, I definitely something like this. I think everyone needs to see where we're headed with it and get feedback on it. Mm-hmm. And that way, so if we can get this wrapped up here by the end of this week, that would be really handy so we can actually put it out for comment for another week here.
Mm-hmm. That's good to have a time.
I personally would like to hear enough comments from the board members and so that the board members collectively find it supportable and then share it with the membership.
Okay, so can we... Is anybody here would be uncomfortable putting a timeline on this? Okay.
And then, Ted, you'll be okay with controlling the document?
I'm sorry, who asked what question?
This is John. Will you volunteer to be the controller of the document, the document manager?
I think so. I'm not entirely sure what that means, but yeah, I think I can control it.
You'll be the only one changing it or modifying it.
That's okay, but I am relying on feedback in order to create the best product.
Excellent. Okay, so you're going to basically be the ones doing all the writing on it. We're just going to provide you with the feedback, and then we'll get comments from the membership, and then we will basically make a decision. Yeah, unfortunately, we can't make a decision outside of the board meeting, can we?
Yeah.
I think that will produce the quickest result.
Actually, you can. But you can do a vote by email, but it has to be unanimous. Okay, so you can have no dissent. And then the other thing is that then you ratify that motion in the next meeting that you have. So
there's
you can
one more
approve
requirement
it.
Now, and it's fairly new.
Oh.
And that is that it has to be an emergency situation that has to be resolved within a couple of days.
So a mission statement doesn't fall.
Okay,
yeah, mission statement would
not
fall. Not
going to work then. So, yeah, because I would like to actually be able to do some of this stuff. We don't actually have to get together on this. If we can...
Well, we can have it all set, ready to go, and everybody agrees before the meeting so that it's just...
Okay, well, I guess we're going to push it off another month then, but let's do
that.
We
could have a special meeting. That's the other thing, too.
Okay.
Can we have a special meeting for a non-emergency? I think we can. Yeah.
Okay, how much advance notice do we have to put it together, Jim?
You know, I don't recall...
It's 48 hours, I believe, in the bylaws.
For emergency situations, for something like this, you definitely want open meeting participation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, more is better. I think we meet monthly. I can't imagine, you know, with the amount of thought and iterations that might go along with this, that we need to meet within a month. But, you know, it's your discretion. But what's important is that we give all the association members time to review it, digest it, and then have comments on it.
Okay, so essentially, if it takes us a week to figure it out and basically come up with our mission statement, how much time do you think we have to give it to the membership?
Well, I think that should have been done within this month.
Well, again, so if it takes us a week, do we give the membership 2 weeks? Yeah. And then we roll together, so we're talking about a motion for next board meeting. Mm-hmm.
It'd be difficult to have a special meeting before the next meeting to digest everything, all the thoughts everyone has to say, and then come up with something to say.
Okay, and can we do that too with the goals?
Yeah.
Simultaneously? Because as we were discussing earlier, if we come up with all these action items before we actually get to the meeting, like today I was hoping that we'd be here and we'd go, yes, we like the mission statement, and then we'd be going from there. But we didn't get there, so...
If I can offer a comment. Number one, I've got the mission statement up there on the screen. I just sent Barry a copy of it.
This isn't it. This is a how to make a mission statement one. Yeah, this is it.
So theoretically, we would do this in advance. I'd be ready.
Now, I regress.
It's too much to go through in this meeting.
Yeah, right, but it's there.
Yeah.
Just wanted to make sure it's available. Number one. Number two, a mission statement is going to impact this airpark for decades. And I don't want to rush that. We want to come up with this mission statement right away so we can start doing the enforcement. I think that's
No, that's not the... But they're not tied to the enforcement at all.
But it seems like we want to go ahead and rush this mission statement so we can start on the enforcement.
No.
And I don't see us doing the enforcement before we get the mission statement set.
The enforcement has to be on the CCNRs that are in place right now.
Yes.
That's where the enforcement comes from, the CCNRs.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been waiting for the CCNRs for years to try to...
So
we voted on this last month. We had a motion on this. Should we move forward with enforcement based on the current documents that we have? And we all said yes. And based on that, John and I went around and did the walkabout this last weekend.
Yeah, I think to clarify, what I hear you saying is, you know, there's the vision of the whole airport, mm-hmm. and then there's rules and regulations, and they're all very, very different.
Oh.
They're separate.
But Mr.
One is not tied to the other.
Yeah.
But Mr. John, you make your rules and your regulations on the vision of the airport.
No.
No.
Oh, I disagree.
I.
In a normal situation, you're right. In a normal situation, you're absolutely right. But we've been waiting for 5 years, 6 years?
Now, the previous president did want to bring that as the agenda for the new board. That was not the new board's agenda.
No, we voted on
it. I think Ted Stanley spoke to that last meeting as well.
You can look at the minutes.
We can. Okay, so let me jump here. You want more time to pull the mission statement together and make sure it's perfect before we do anything else.
No. There's only as Mr. Can said, I remember that conversation, no, there's only one perfect book. And there's only going to be a perfect CCNR. But we got to understand that this mission statement is going to set precedence for this air park mm-hmm. for decades.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's not something I want to rush.
I agree with you.
And from that mission statement comes the rules, the regulations, and everything else.
From that comes the CCNRs.
And I agree 100%.
Which have to be approved.
That comes the rules and regulations.
Then comes the rules.
And the enforcement. You understand?
Ted, go ahead.
Pete.
Go ahead, Ted.
Ron, I am not advocating in any way that the mission statement be rushed, but rather that it get on a front burner. So moving quickly does not necessarily mean rushing. Rushing means that you're moving too fast and you make mistakes. Hopefully we can move quickly without making mistakes.
So everyone might be a little uncomfortable with the fact that I actually want to put a drop dead date on it so we can actually get it going. I mean, we have so many things that need to be done, and I just don't want to have this taking 6 months to do.
Could I ask a quick question, Ron? You're saying about the mission statement being enforced. Am I misunderstanding?
No,
that?
Yeah, that's a misunderstanding, and I didn't mean to come across that way. Sorry.
Oh, okay, because I'm.
From the mission statement, you draw your CCNRs, mm-hmm. which right now everybody agrees that the CCNRs need to be redone.
I think so.
Yeah. From the CCNRs comes the rules and regulations and the enforcements and such. That's the way this country started.
Yeah, so our mission statement, basically, when we talked last time, we need to get that run to ground. So then we could go back and start combining our ideas to figure out how to move the CCNRs forward.
Mm-hmm. That was really
so the mission statement is, like I said, it's been put up there as the thing that needs to be done before we can move on. So I just don't want to take 6 months to get it done.
But I don't want it rushed.
What if you take this opportunity with the dates you have set to see how it's starting to come together and what it's starting to look like and everybody's comfort levels?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not saying we're going to stamp it for sure at the next meeting, but at least we'll have what we believe is a very good draft, and we can vote on it if we choose.
This very discussion puts on the front burner.
Yeah, so that everyone's comfort levels.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to come together very well.
Yeah, mission statements typically, people can jump on board a mission statement really quick. I don't think it's going to take a whole lot of.
And I don't want the mission statement to be regulated by the current CCNRs. I want it to be fresh.
Well, the mission statement mm-hmm. is basically going to be the document that the CCNRs are basically drawn from.
Mm-hmm.
And we already have the basis of the CCNRs.
Mm-hmm.
And our base CCNRs with a few, oddball minor details and stuff in there that we need to change, most of the people are happy with. And there is some change to be done, but we can't get there until we get the mission statement out of the way.
Okay.
So that's why I want to get the mission statement done, and I don't want to prolong its discussion and stuff.
Excuse me, how long should a mission statement be generally?
One page.
Wow. And I would say two sentences.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is the same.
Huh? Yeah.
Good for you.
Again, I will resend what I wrote, and as soon as I receive comments from the remainder of the board, I will work on it right away, and I will give you updates along the way before I produce a redraft if necessary. So I think that we should end this conversation, and I'll get to work on it, and then satisfactory results aren't produced before the next meeting, let's revisit this conversation.
I'm happy with that. You happy with that? Okay. Very good. All right. Very good, Ted. Let's make it happen.
Thank you.
All right. So moving on here. Oh. I'm not sure where we go with this.
So the next thing is the transient visitor requirements, hold harmless, and insurance. And Ted and I have been trading emails on this. And it's kind of a complicated subject. And in the end, I think we agree that we still should be requiring hold harmless agreements with visitors. But I realize I don't have the time to do the work properly for this.
It's enforcement that's the issue of it.
No, this is actually, we've not been consistent on our process for visitors. Sometimes we require hold harmless and sometimes we don't. We've always required the first page of the insurance of the person coming in. But we need to tighten up our and agree on our process. And we started down this road, Ken, you'll probably remember, a while ago. And this was when James Lang was on the board. James is a lawyer, and he drafted up a new hold harmless for one-day visitors, and we never moved forward with that. So when Ted and I talked, I think the proper thing would be to try to engage James again to take this subject and really do a deep dive on it and provide a recommendation to the board. So I'd like to get the board's approval to go ahead and chat with James on that.
I'm fine with that.
Say something on that.
Well, I'd like to hear the board first, and then we'll.
Okay.
Ron, do you have a comment on? No. Okay.
Okay. So, my experience with the whole harmlessness and stuff like that is that this is primarily with the Tucson Snoring Club because we've gone through this many times, and we have a host of lawyers, and James was included in that because he was one of our members and stuff like that. And they said that for the most part, you can sign all the whole harmlessness all you want. It's just trying to enforce them in court, it's almost impossible.
Really?
And that's what the insurance agent also said when.
And that's my experience as well.
Hmm. Okay, so. It'd be nice to have a hold harmless, but it doesn't do you much. And then asking for insurance, one of the problems we have with the Tucson Soaring Club is that we would actually go out there and say, okay, everybody has to provide the board with a copy of their insurance for this coming year or you won't be allowed to fly. So we went out there and we got members to basically participate. And they put the insurance in there. A couple of members said, absolutely no way, I don't have to. There's no law saying I have to, and they wouldn't do it. So what happened then was that people said, well, okay, if you can't make so-and-so do it, then I'm not going to do it either. And it became an enforcement issue. How do you go by and say, okay, who's going to want to be the cop to go out there and run all these people to ground? And this was a membership. This is not somebody that just, wants to pop in to visit, out of the blue and stuff like that. So what ended up happening is the Tucson Soaring Club just went, okay, nobody wants to be the cop. We asked for a voluntary disclosure of your insurance. It's not happening.
You threw up your hands and said, okay. That's
so
where we ended up before.
We're insured as an entity. The club is insured. If somebody comes in here and they hurt themselves and stuff like that, basically it's just going to have to go from there. We tried to do our best we could to make sure we were covered, and we were trying to mitigate any possible issues that could hurt somebody. We've done the best we could, and if somebody gets hurt, then it's going to be up to a judge someplace. Barry, you're a member of the Association of LaCroix Air Park, right? What is their current status on this? Because I know I used to
I signed a hold harmless, and they enforce it.
So I used to fly in and out there, and I used to meet the guy at the fuel pumps there,
Larry.
He'd come out and say, okay, I need to see your thing. And then one day I said, Larry, did you see that? He goes, oh, no, we don't do this anymore. So it's been 3 or 4 years since I fly into LaCroix on a fairly regular basis, and nobody has asked for anything from me.
So that's why I think someone needs to do a deep dive into this and make sure, because this could be a financial blunder if we don't do this properly. We could get sued, we could get...
Just to clarify, the insurance company didn't say that we are covered for transients. So what we're trying to do is, if there is some damage, whose insurance ends up kicking in, theirs or ours? So that's the issue.
Well, she ended up sending another email that said something like, when I repeated back, so you're saying that we are insured, she wrote back and say, this is a broad statement as it is hard to determine a potential loss being covered without knowing what that might entail. So in other words, there may be situations where we're not covered.
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah,
felt kind of...
I'd like to say that, you know, this was vetted through an attorney for sure. So you have to read between the lines. And so, of course, they're going to say not all instances are going to be covered because there are always anomalies. But for in general, transients are covered. That's reading between the lines. So you got to be careful reading those caveats. They cannot say, yes, it's all covered. It's 100%.
So in wrapping up, Wendy, I agree.
I lost him.
Lost
Ted.
Okay. Ask him to use the other one.
Boss, I'm gonna have to call you back. Bye.
Is that Andrew?
No.
Say that to
that was
wife.
My boss.
Oh.
That was really my boss.
Welcome. This service is provided by freeconferencecall.com. Please enter your access code.
Crap. What's the access code again?
Access code or phone number you have dialed is incorrect.
I know.
Please check your... Access code or phone number you have dialed is incorrect. Please check your credentials and try again. If you are the host, press star now. One, otherwise, five, please enter your PIN followed by the...
87.
Your input is invalid. You entered 157.
Can I make a suggestion? Let Ted dial into this.
Thank you. There is one other participant in the conference. Please announce yourself.
Hello?
We're back. Sorry about that.
Hi. Did you get my message?
Yes, I did. I couldn't text fast enough to tell you we were working on it.
So just to go back.
Oh, okay.
We were talking about insurance coverage. And we were talking about insurance coverage on transient visitors, and the insurance companies with the focus on is generally speaking, yes, a transient aircraft landing at the insured's airport would be a covered loss. That's an important part of aviation insurance, and it is in there. There's always going to be some anomaly that's an exception, and that's their job to tell you that not everything's going to be covered, but generally speaking, yes, a transient visitor is covered.
So
the question with the hold harmless would be is would that be insufficient to, A, make the burden of a loss on the transient visitors insurance company rather than our insurance company, which would help our loss run ratio and keep our premiums low? And B, is there any other value to hold harmless agreement that's intangible? Does that make sense?
Yeah, but hold harmless, basically, I think you're just trotted out there to make people think about that. Well, if you hurt yourself here, we're not going to be responsible for you, which doesn't hold up in court at all. So it's basically you're almost just bluffing. when you do that. I think that you know, a lot of this should be that we should maintain the proper insurance on our airport to cover instances like that, because we can't figure all the different instances that will happen. Mm-hmm. And then we should also make sure that we maintain our air park in such a way to mitigate any potential issues. We can't solve every problem, but we can do our best that we absolutely can. So no one can say that you guys were negligent and you left that machinery parked 10 feet off the side of the runway there or something like that. And I think it's basically up to us to basically make our air park safe rather than trying to get compliance with everybody else to insure or name us insured and stuff like that. That's my opinion, though. I'm not a lawyer. Sandy, you got it.
There's also, besides aircraft operations, there's also that 800-pound gorilla that's in the room, where if somebody is visiting the airpark and is, say, is on horseback, and somebody's taxiing on a taxiway, spooking the horse, injuring the transient, who's covered with that? I mean, I hate bringing this up, but it's got to be mentioned.
No, we'll be named on the suit, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, because the lawyers are going to go for the deep pockets.
Yeah, but even if that person was fully insured, we had the whole harmless and everything like that, we're still going to get sued.
Yep.
They need to bring one inside.
It's that is a major can of worms that once that's open, it's going to be bad.
Well, unfortunately, Stanley, I added to all the rest of them. I mean, for instance, you know, I've landed here and had heard a deer bolt out across the runway.
No.
You know, and the insurance, you know, basically doesn't have listed in there that deer strikes are covered.
Well, so, a deer is a little bit different than someone on horseback.
What you're saying is that, you know, if somebody was here and they did for instance, say we had a guest here and the guest was riding out there and the horse basically spooked because of the airplane, it charged the airplane or ran somebody else's property or something like that, you know.
Or if it injured the rider seriously, that could be a thing.
So the horses are
right. I mean,
are an issue.
But who's the owner of the horse? That's going to get put in there. You know, it's like,
you know. Taxiways are meant for airplanes.
My daughter's tried to actually go horseback around other people and say, well, I'm sorry, but if you get hurt, we can't afford the lawsuits, therefore you can't ride horses. So the owner of the horse basically takes the insurance hit on that, as well as anybody else the lawyers can figure to see.
Statistically, though, there's been way more car accidents with deer than there have been with horses. Now, airplanes, I don't know.
So, again, we can't come up with all the possible things. There are some things we could point to and say, yeah, that's an issue. I think the only thing we can do, and this is verified by my friends from the Soaring Club who are lawyers, and we got several of them involved, James Lang being one of them, is that you just do the best you can.
So
you can't cover everything.
Can I summarize what I'm hearing? Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Ted.
A couple of thoughts. One is I have a friend who I believe was a former board member of the air park in Florida, whose name I can't recall right at the moment, Spruce Creek. And I could quiz him and see if he's got any input on that. The other suggestion would be to quiz the organization Living With Your Plane Association and see if they have any input on it. And lastly, basically, I agree with you, Pete. There's no perfect insulation. The only thing you can do is put in layers, which is why, for the most part, airplanes don't have one single bolt that if it fails, it falls out of the sky. So we just got to put in as many layers as we can reasonably accomplish.
Okay, so when did you want to...
So this is a very squishy topic, obviously, and there's no right answer. So we have to decide what we as the board feel is sufficient for Ruby Star. And given my experience in the past where we threw up our hands and found that it was impossible to enforce stuff, and what I just heard from you, I'm kind of tending to go with the... Our insurance is our insurance, and we depend on that. Is there any, you know, Ted's got some good ideas there about checking with Living With Your Plane. I'd be happy to do that. But beyond that, maybe we just need to codify that we're just going to depend on our insurance and we're not going to use a hold harmless. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at right now.
We do layers. We basically have our insurance for the airport.
Yeah.
And then we basically try to make sure that it's a safe environment for our aircraft. Mm-hmm. And then we also be at our website, stuff like that. We request that anybody who comes in here basically makes contact with mm-hmm. us.
Absolutely.
And then we describe what our conditions are and what our recommendations are and stuff like that. We have some layers in place. I'm willing to investigate more. Absolutely. So, you know, I think we're okay the way we've been doing it right now. If there's more things that could help us out, I'd love to see them. I'm not objectionable to that.
So I guess my point is there's no hard concrete actions to go from here except continue to investigate it so that we're educated on the subject and perhaps update the website, which we need to do for other reasons.
Right.
All the way around.
It's Ted, one more item. And that is that Ruby Star is a private air park. And FAA, if I remember correctly, having read one of their orders, says that private air parks, are private air parks, and they're not open to the public, and the permission needs to be granted prior to landing at our airport. If people don't get permission, they are trespassing.
Correct.
Technically. Therefore, if we insist on permission and an individual doesn't get permission, they are trespassing. And if they are trespassing, and unless we're guilty of gross negligence, we are protected if we do not grant them permission. That's something that we can utilize in the short run before we iron out the wrinkles.
So, Ted, not to be tongue-in-cheek and stuff like that, but I have actually thought about, you know, putting like a no trespassing sign at the approach end of the runway, or at least put private on our runway.
Well, and I was thinking in the FAA description, we need to put permission must be granted prior to.
I agree, that's great. Yeah,
I have it written up already. I just haven't sent it.
Okay. The road sign's a big deal, but that's coming up.
But you're absolutely right. Anybody who does not have permission to come here, since it's a private airport, is necessarily trespassing. And what do we do for our fences? We basically have to post no trespassing every 50 feet along each fence to basically make that a binding argument.
We already have
one. North and west. North and east.
Yeah. So maybe we should just do that. Let's go ahead and let's put it on our, it's on the FAA website. We have that update, don't we?
Yeah, I've got, I'll put out an email of what I think the update should be.
But not what's?
And then
I think
that we ought to actually write, you know, private at the approach ends of our runways someplace.
You mean on this?
On the asphalt there, yeah. I'd even go as far as put private no trespassing.
Yeah, that's a lot of paper.
It's really clear that
I didn't say it.
I mean, it sounds goofy.
Well, it's marked on the sectionals as well, isn't it?
I agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah, so it is basically private, yes. So anyway, you know, everybody that comes here to see me, I have a verbal conversation with them. I tell them exactly how to get in here and stuff like that. And so I make sure that they actually know what's going on. We have the guys that, you know, come down here for the mine and stuff like that. They've been hit or miss on that, although they have had that information presented to them. Somebody, I just don't see there's anything we can do legal-wise to make it any safer.
I agree. I was following up.
I'm all for looking forward to more stuff, but truly, I mean, I think we're down to the point where you just got to put no trespassing into the runway.
Okay, let me I'll summarize what I heard for this discussion.
Okay.
Because I don't think there's a motion that has to be done for that.
So there is no motion on the hold harmless.
Nope.
Move on. Yeah. Press on. You're going to summarize?
Huh?
You were going to summarize?
No, I'm going to summarize it in an email.
Gotcha.
And send it
okay,
to
very good. Okay, very good.
There's no motion, I don't think.
We'll summarize our discussion in an email, and we are going to move to security gate updates. Who's doing that?
John. Can I take that? I would love to have someone volunteer to play with the security system that's up and running and recording.
Recording?
To make sure that the cameras are pointed properly and the lights are pointed properly. And it's capturing what it needs to capture. So would anybody be willing to play with it? The manual's down there. We have the key. The system's in a container that makes it weatherproof. And there's a monitor there. So it's just simply turning it on and reading the quick manual and taking a look at what's been going on and giving suggestions on how to better point.
John, I'm very willing. Yes. What time do we have to do this?
So I had another thought because you're so busy, and that's to nominate Jerry as the Gates Visitor Administrator.
The gatekeeper. For knowledge and
just
geography.
To check that system, you know, maybe once a month.
As long as Zool isn't anywhere around.
How does it work?
I'm good with that.
Because he's already taking phone calls from visitors and things like that.
Let's take that discussion offline.
Yeah, I'm willing to do that.
Just to keep the meeting.
It's an IT kind of thing, so he's perfectly suited.
Who has the key right now?
John has not given it to me yet.
John Michaels.
I'm sorry.
That's the only key I can find for it at this point. So let's be sure to make copies as quickly as possible. If I can facilitate with that, let me know.
Yeah, his engine probably kind of took over the whole meeting yet. So. Okay.
So I heard Jerry say yes, which is a woohoo!
Okay.
Thank you, Jerry.
So we'll decide yourself.
Does the system have the ability to repeat to a remote site? So just in case someone damages that, it goes.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay. As far as the functioning of that,
finding a way.
So those bars could be easily ripped off that door, and this whole system could be just taken away.
Okay.
I suggest we take that conversation. I was telling Barry we need to take that conversation offline so we can keep the meeting moving forward on the operation and how it's wired up and all that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm not trying to be rude.
So I hear Ron volunteer to make sure.
No.
Did Ron volunteer to also?
No, I don't think so.
No, I just, well.
Failure contingencies? Failure contingencies? Is that what I heard?
Did I?
No, I don't think you did. I think you just suggested that we take this offline, is what I heard.
not the gate offline.
Okay, so we're gonna basically get some people trained on the gate, so we can make sure that.
Yeah, maybe we need another person too. When
Jerry's
not here.
Yeah, absolutely.
John Michaels.
I thought he said even.
Well, we'll ask him. We'll make sure a couple of people know how to run it.
I'll try and write instructions.
That'd be awesome. I need instructions. I can't run my cell phone.
Keep in mind that the user manual is made for lay people, so hopefully it's not that hard to understand.
Sure. People write those things. All right, so we're moving on to road sign project update. I don't have any information on that. Who's that?
I think we table it.
Okay.
Really?
We're already at the point where we should be going into executive session.
Yeah, so essentially I think that I gave John my wish list of road signs, and he was going to look it up, but I don't know if we've actually gotten anywhere with that. So I guess.
No progress on that part.
Okay, very good. So
the only thing I got to add to that, and I'll keep it very short, is I think the road sign, especially as you enter the runway, is extremely important because that's a liability issue. That really needs to be stepped up. That's all I got to say about that.
You only have 10 seconds for that, too. All the north roads. You're living on one. I'm living on one. Soon to be another person living on one. There is no signs that say that's Bonanza Gold, Copper Cave, or Ruby Air Park Drive. And from the standpoint of an emergency services that come in here, which has happened before, for those emergency services to take and locate those particular residents, it's a blank because we all know that Google doesn't work.
Yeah. So we don't have road signs on the north side of the road?
No. Not at the taxiway going into those roads.
Okay.
If you give me just a quick back of the napkin on a map where you think signs need to be, I'll get those.
Maybe there's three roads, and I'm saying that. I've had to call emergency services in.
I'll get them made and installed.
and just
make them a whole map.
Yeah, and go from there. Okay. Thank you.
Made and installed.
Thank you.
Good make point. Sure you let me know height.
Just make them like the other ones.
Just like the other ones.
I don't know what they are. So okay. I don't know what the other ones means. I'll need to get this guy specific.
I also might mention that there have been some signs that were loose and in disrepair. I took it upon myself to make it more stable and so it wouldn't come off.
Thank you.
So,
I know I appreciated the signs being low when I was coming in today.
And there is a fix. If the tightening screw doesn't work, just drill a hole right through and put a bolt.
Okay. Well, the ones we have out here, probably they're still standing.
Thank you.
I hope that's noted in the minutes. Sandy.
Okay. Next.
Okay, moving on to weed spraying update. Do we have any updates?
There's an issue with weed spraying now that I'm no longer the manager of the association. That furthers my the tie to the Adam Insurance, probably down not being the actual manager in weed spray then.
I have some thoughts on this.
Okay.
And John and I have talked a little bit that he's willing to train the next person who does it, which is I'm very, very thankful for because it's quite the deal to get someone up to speed on it. It's not a slam dunk easy thing to figure out. Now, Ron, you had somebody who you thought might be interested. I was also going to suggest maybe now that Tom Scovan is here, maybe he might want to do it. So I think we should investigate, somebody else. Now, I think Tom has insurance because he owns a business. I don't know if...
No, it's just a guy who...
Okay.
It's actually imperative the person doing this have insurance. hazardous chemicals. So.
I think we need to collect names of all people who might be able to do this and who are willing.
Yeah, we need a new weed sprayer.
Not... You mean a human.
A person.
Can we fit a 140 with sprayers? Or?
I don't know if you can fly low enough for the hill there.
So what do we want to do going forward?
We're just going to have to go find somebody to do it.
It needs to happen soon, though. The stuff is starting to grow.
Yeah, we're going to have
when I did the fence line last fall, the fence line is getting way overgrown with both, not only leaf, but cacti.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's large areas that are just completely overgrown. I don't know what to do about that.
Javelina.
All right, so let's talk about this outside of the meeting. We're going to have to find new people or more possible.
Should each of us take it upon ourselves to ask people if we think of someone?
Yeah, the problem is the insurance. I mean, I know people that will do it. It's the insurance problem.
And I think that there's a caveat there with if you get somebody who's already got the insurance, they're going to charge us a lot more because they've got to pay for that insurance and they're covered. If we cover them with insurance, then you can get somebody a whole lot cheaper.
Could we ask Gilberto? Because we have the sprayer.
Yeah, so we need to hire somebody with insurance to use our equipment.
Yeah, I've asked him before. It's just not his thing.
Yeah,
that's not what he does.
He's a construction guy.
Yeah.
So, for instance, I got a resume from a friend of my son's whose father is a handyman. And he says he has insurance and stuff like that. I was going to look into it further, but I didn't know it was dire. I thought Joan was happy doing it.
I guess not.
My sides are aching from laughing every time I do this.
Okay. So anyway, let's find somebody else.
Okay. So you'll contact that person.
I'll contact the person.
I'll talk to Tom, see if he's interested.
Yeah. Let's all.
And it wouldn't hurt just to circulate amongst the landscaping companies. Since they're not actually doing any landscaping, just to come down, they've got the gargantuan, I don't know how many, 1,500 gallon.
I've looked into them, and it's very expensive. Very expensive.
Okay, what was that?
How about Carl?
Carl doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to be near the chemicals. Mm-hmm. He's already made that clear.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So let's move on. Your taxi fees. Whose dot is that?
We were supposed to discuss it, but I don't think anybody's done homework, and I would suggest we table it, given where we're
at. Okay, yeah, I would like to actually table it and stuff like that.
Can somebody take it, though, and, like, provide...
I've got it.
Oh, you've got it. Oh, okay. Cool.
Fine.
I didn't know had done anything. Well,
you guys are busy doing this. So. Thank you.
Hit me with
I'm going to hit you. All right. Air taxi fees. I like to rephrase that and say cancel that fees, but basically just come up and make a statement of deny Freeport air taxi rights to Vista Airpark. And the justification that I would use would be total of last year and year to date, there's been over 60 chemical smell and high intensity light complaints against Freeport lodged with no resolvement at all. There's been no resolvement after meetings with the Arizona DEQ, FMC odor contractors, and FMC themselves. The rock dump expansion and effect on RSAP property values, that's a given. We know about that. The Ballard Home Crosses Road was foreclosed because of actions by this corporation over here. Other property sales have been lost. Conditional use permit prohibits commercial air activity. And in a 135 air taxi operation, which has been coming in here, that classifies as commercial activity. No contract provision outside the dust suppression that was agreed upon by both Rubistar Park and Freeport. There is nothing in that contract that allows air taxi operations in here. Basically, the action that I would like to see is draft and send a letter to the FMC Community Relations Manager denying any air taxi into RCP by Cutter Aviation. Period.
I second that.
That's a great report.
Just thoughts that I have.
I agree.
Ted, hold on a minute.
I agree basically with Ken. Sorry.
Ted, I changed my whole thought process based on your comments to me back in December, I think it was, maybe, yeah. We had the discussion.
Yes.
And I do agree that saying to Cutter, we're going to charge you landing fees was not the right thing. I think we need to go to the source. The source is Freeport.
Ken, I agree with you. The only other thing that I would suggest that we do, in addition to what you just said, is that a letter go directly to Cutter and advise them that we are a private air park, permission is required, and they don't have it.
I think that should be done along so they're notified. As far as a operator that would support Freeport's management to be brought in and to let Freeport know, hey, folks, you're not good neighbors. Why should we be good neighbors to you?
Would it be a CC on a Freeport letter, or it would be a separate letter? I would think a CC and a Freeport letter would be best.
I think that would probably be the best. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a regulatory agency.
Well, again, we're a private airport.
I know, whatever. But you said you copied some government agency, right?
I did not. No.
Okay. Well, whatever they are, copy them as well.
So as much as I understand and agree with everything you put right here, one of the other things that's come, it's been kind of percolating here. I had a conversation a couple weeks ago with a friend of mine who's a mining engineer. And he knows all the hydrologists that have worked this area. In fact, I'm trying to set up a meeting right now to talk with these guys. And one of the things that they suggested right off the bat is that why don't you just have the mine over here supply your water? There's water half mile south of your airpark.
I hear angels singing.
And I'm a little hesitant to poke someone in the eye right now till we run that down. You know what I mean? I mean, I get it. I mean, we've done a lot of stuff and we've gotten absolutely nowhere. You know, Mike Magris's efforts to, you know, try to take care of some of the stuff obviously just gets stonewalled.
I have more information on this whole subject, and I didn't want to derail the meeting, but
okay.
It seems appropriate. So the expansion permit has been approved.
You saw that, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that's going to, they're going to be changing how the water flows over there.
Right, so they're going to
they already
they're,
are.
They're going to do what they're going to do regardless of what we say. Okay. So on the other hand is that they thought, geez, why don't you guys, you know, work out a deal with them so you can put a well over there. You know, the biggest problem we're going to have is getting an easement across McGee Ranch Road. And I'm thinking, well, I'm sure we've gone down this road before. So anyway, I've got supposedly two different guys that are going to be meeting with me. They haven't set the date yet. Who know people over there at the mine and know the area and know our water problem situation. So and if anybody else has any. Else to, you know, add to that and stuff like that. I think we can call Cutter and say, look.
You have that permission at least.
Yeah. Cool. This is a permission. This is a permission only airport.
But we did that. We sent a letter, didn't we?
John did.
And did we get any response from them?
No. Well, there's no response.
Yeah. And they came in after. Didn't they come in again after?
They have trespass.
They have trespass. That doesn't work. They have to have permission. Right.
So I don't have a problem writing a letter. You know, writing Cutter a letter saying, look, this is permission on the airport. We've written a bunch of times before. Next time you show up here, you're going to be trespassing.
We're going to put a bulldozer in front of your plane.
So that's...
Pete, let me re-clarify some things, too. Does this have to be done yesterday? No. Do I understand what you're saying about the water? Yes. Is it better to take and hold off and just see where the... what do they call those things? Fall?
Chips fall.
Well, no, they call them Ouija. What are they?
Oh, Tavanian. Right.
Yes, yeah. Oh. Where do they fall? Yeah, I think so. But I want to make sure everybody is aware, and what I see as a resident of this airpark, and what I see over here, this major corporation is not community friendly. They may be down to Green Valley, down on the beltway going down the La Quinata, or whatever. You see their signs all over the place. They give money here and there. Yeah. But how many times have we approached them? Folks, you're ruining us. And I look at this vacant home over here, and that just sticks in my craw and everybody else's home values.
But when... Was the mine here before?
Who cares?
It doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, we realize now that we bought two lots that the mine is affecting us.
I think.
But it was here when we bought.
I think Mike Migris has a lot of background information on dates and times and everything else that he has been putting forth. And, of course, it goes on deaf ears.
So let me just say, the people who live just to the south of you, that's a seventh generation family.
Right.
They were here before the mine.
Right.
So it's just...
On a side note, Pete, I'd like to take up more about that issue offline.
Okay. Yeah, I'll share what I got.
And I'll volunteer to help you out there.
Okay.
And I've got some resources as well.
Yeah, I didn't want to get a discussion on water.
Sure.
Right. So that's why I'm saying I'll take it offline.
Can I just one thing, though? I would really like a full discussion on water maybe in the April meeting. Not next meeting, but maybe April or something.
And with that said, Wendy, I think that's an excellent idea. We'll have some more information by then.
Definitely. Yeah. Okay, I agree. We need to
that's
can make some progress on how we can leverage Freeport-McMoRan to...
And also, too, property owners would be more receptive to developing or maybe people... buying property because water is the main issue with the banks. They will not give a loan
if
there's no water.
Yeah, so like I said, I didn't want to get into it, but I think that if we basically make a strong effort to pull our information together for the meeting, I think it'd be a really interesting thing.
We have a consensus.
Yeah, because there's still ways to do it. You can go to them with, as friends, or you can go to them as, you know, adversarial. And, mm-hmm. You know, at this point, well, I don't know. At this point, I'm convinced that adversarial is probably better. So it's one more thing we can say is, hey, you know, we're a private airport. You can't land here anymore. Or, you know, you're hurting our valuations and you're doing all this harm to us. You know, how do we make all this right?
And you're ignoring us.
Yeah. So how do we make a deal here? But I think one more adversarial weapon in our pocket doesn't hurt.
Okay,
you got my vote.
So we're gonna make an action item out of this, or we're
gonna wait.
I think we just take it and put it on hold. For
I think you table it to April as well.
And we and do the homework.
We should write down the note though that I think we're all in agreement that we want to send a letter to Cutter and to Freeport Neckrum that says that you have no permission to come here. Period.
Yeah, I mean, to
and we'll count it as trespass.
We've sent you a letter already.
Yeah.
You've ignored it. So at this point in time, we're going to basically, you know, tell them that this is private property and you're not allowed.
But we'll do that in April so that we have time to do.
You may be making just one mistake that he brought up. Didn't they make a contribution towards the improvement of that runway?
That's a separate contract.
Okay.
That contract. Yes. Oh, yes.
That's cool.
Oh, yes.
That's just for.
Yeah, Ted.
But my question.
Hi.
Let me grab Ted here real quick.
Hi. If you repeat a letter to Cutter and you would like it to have the proper impact, send a carbon copy to the FISDO and specifically to their operations inspector.
Flight service.
And I can guarantee you will get results.
That's a good idea, Ted. I think I'll try to find out who that is from my FAA guys.
That shouldn't be a problem.
Okay.
My question would be, we sent a letter to Cutter. Has anybody talked to Cutter? You can tell, I'm a telephone person. That's how I do my business.
It's called deaf ears.
I don't know. What, who?
I've tried a million times.
No, but did anybody talk to Cutter?
Yes. Mike has been over this for the last 10 years about a million times.
So,
I'm not sure.
You're saying FMC.
She's talking to Cutter.
Cutter.
We sent a letter to Cutter.
Cutter.
And then they landed again. But
I don't think we did.
I mean,
it was verbal, and now we need
Cutter.
To
Cutter.
No,
receive,
it was a letter.
Cutter received a letter.
It was what do you call it? Registered?
I don't know. John
had registered mail.
John said.
No, they could do that now.
I think the.
You did?
I did not.
Oh.
So, anyways, we can take the next step.
They can always say we never got it.
The FSO is an excellent idea.
Cutter's operation manager needs to be sent a letter or copied in. And I don't think
contingent on how that may or may not impact our strategy with water.
We all know that verbal interaction is more effective and opens the doors better than just a form letter or another form letter, a letter that is sent that you can't even verify that they received.
Okay. Yeah, we can get Cutter's intention pretty easy, like Ted described right there. We'll just find out who their operations manager is. We can do that. All right, so we're going to hold on to this for just a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. All right, so we have a couple more items here. Airport promotional events, shared well draft agreement, common area update. We tabled them last time. Does anybody have a problem pushing those forward now? Because we're running out of time.
Just one quick thing, common area update. Your email, John, you sent out regarding an individual from Colorado.
Mm. That's right.
Have you had any subsequent conversations with him?
No, we left it that when you're ready to start drafting the next revision of CCNRs, he'd be happy to take any components we put in there related to the hangars. And he recommended putting things in, something in there for the hangars, addressing the proposed hangar project.
Can you make sure your statement goes in here on the minutes?
I sure will.
Thank you.
Could I ask just one line explanation of the shared well draft agreement?
Yeah.
I haven't heard of it before.
Well, this is something that I've had on the back burner for about 2 years now.
Has it been?
The loans, trying to get loans. Construction loans have been stopped because of lack of water, right?
Right.
One of the solutions
is
is to do a shared draft, a shared well agreement, and assigning all the various properties to some of the Ruby Star wells, and that could get it through.
Cut the red tape.
Okay.
Well, right. It would allow approval of loans.
Okay. Now, is there any ramification from my understanding was that the wells were shut down with the state?
They're not shut down. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so well, there's still
our water system was shut down.
Yeah, I know, but see, I used to file the water usage.
We still do that.
And there was some discussion. Maybe it was just the electric that was shut down.
It was just the electric.
Just the electric
on the pumps, yeah.
But nothing reported to the state. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so the wells are still there. They're just not active because there's no power to the meters. Okay,
next.
New business.
So I put this one on there, Pete, this new construction. Okay. I just to make so everyone's aware, the Scovans have put a trailer on their property. They are intending to build. And I was just wondering, as a board, is there something we would like to do? Do we want to send them information of any sort? Or do we want Adam to send them, you know, all the current documents? Do we want to send a welcome? You know?
Yeah, so I agree. I think that them coming out here, you know, they've obviously, you know, made the decision that they want to live here.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that we can do to assist them, I mean, from as far as, you know, we've got a lot of experienced people that have built houses out here. Mm-hmm. We have a list of contractors. I hope you got a good list of contractors. You're the most recent one.
Do it yourself.
Avoid Sandy's contractors.
Okay. So a list of contractors who not to use, mm-hmm. Stuff like that. And then also, you know, discuss some of the things about, you know, like an architectural committee would, about, you know, placement of your house here, take advantage of the positioning of your house, keep lights out of your living room and bedroom, and how to get the best views, stuff like that, as well as, you know, our CCNRs, where they're at, you know, some of the things that they need to add to their design work and stuff. I agree. I think we really should have a package, mm-hmm. that us as the board can give,
mm-hmm.
you know, builders and owners out here.
Welcome committee.
So, yeah.
Welcome package. I just don't have the time to assemble one myself.
And where are they building?
They're right across, catty corner from Holly.
The Lost Silver Lane and Copper Gate. What would that be? The northeast corner.
So, and included in that is that I'd like to render any assistance we possibly can to help them get it done quicker rather than linger,
yes.
for many, many years. So, because truly, you know, it's one of the things we've all gone through our own little battles out here with various things like your contractors, and sometimes it's the county, something like that. You know, we need to share those ideas and help them out so it becomes a positive experience rather than going, oh, geez, what I can do for it. Your contractors. So anyway, I'm in full agreement. I'd like to put together a package like that. I just don't have the time to do it.
Any volunteers?
I'll give them an airplane ride.
Do you want me to get you guys together what I have, maybe write a welcome letter, and then you can add in, review?
That would be wonderful. Let's see a starting place.
Give me a starting place.
Okay.
I'll learn as I go.
All right. Yeah, let's do that. And then we can all throw ideas at it And then they can start asking questions. Okay, so what do you do for county? What do you do for concrete and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. Jerry's got lots of good contractor stories too.
Yeah.
Okay.
But is there more than one construction? Because I heard constructions.
So, well, that's. So just a heads up. I think we have four new folks, new sets of, so the DeFazios are probably going to move in 2 months.
Couple weeks, maybe. A
couple weeks. We've got the Millers are probably going to come out in 2 months. We've got, actually, Ballard's is in escrow.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Yeah.
It is.
And then Skolvent. So there's four new sets of people. So that's good news. And I think we should be thinking about how to make this smooth.
And how do we let the general...
Not here.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Yes, Paul.
I didn't want to interrupt.
No, we were done.
It's offline. It's an offline.
It's an offline thing.
Yeah.
Is that the new phrase? Offline?
Mm-hmm.
Keeps the meeting moving forward. Because I got to be to work at 2.
It's just letting the HOA know that people are moving in. I've always felt that it was a shame that I didn't know that you guys were building. I didn't know, you know, that lots had been sold. And I think in my endeavor for transparency that there should be more information shared, which mm-hmm. because it's good news. And that also segues me into one of my hot buttons, which is, why are we not able to share email addresses and telephone numbers? What was that one that you said? You said something like dot, or when we were talking about emailing BCC and
some software will let you send out an email without showing all of the emails.
Okay. But I get from
we have had a discussion on that.
I know, but I have experience. Actually, I'll make it quick. Carolyn Goldschmidt is the attorney for the HOA where we own the property in Green Valley. And we get sent out maybe once a quarter, when there's changes, a little map. There are 48 properties. Yes, 48 properties. We get an update of email addresses and
Holly, we've met this before.
I know, but
Big Alley's associated.
No, but then why does Carolyn Goldschmidt allow one HOA?
It's not Carolyn that allows it. It's the HOA that allows it.
I know, but then why can't the HOA change that?
Because it invites spam.
I get enough
spam.
No,
but if we put a disclosure on the bottom of the list that if this is not used for HOA business, there'll be a fine. Right. I mean, it's
the
just...
The technicians, it just invites spam.
I know, but do you have a list of how to contact people?
I do. I think maybe it's a good subject for the technology committee if we're going to create one.
No, we don't need to discuss it now, but I think it is part of the transparency issue that, and other HOAs do allow that, and they are not sued. And another HOA that I'm familiar with sends it out.
Nice.
Quail Creek does.
Yes.
Okay.
Surely, you know, I agree. It'd be nice to get the information out in real time and stuff. This stuff we're talking about all just happened like recently.
No,
we're
hoping
to put that in the letter.
She wants addresses and email addresses known to everybody. That's what she's asking.
So I get that. It'd be nice to be able to spread the word. We do that.
We
do that more of a voluntary issue rather than actually sending directly to people.
No,
people don't want it.
But
hold on a second. There's a technology can easily solve this issue. All you do on the members only, everybody can get to the website and you can put a board up in there. And whatever information you want to put out, everybody can get in there and read it without disclosing personal information.
A newsletter editor would solve that problem. Where you would any new business, any new construction,
and that's a member's only.
Well, and I've done this before.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a roster being available, just like Quail Creek, which is a pretty big community. They don't seem to be concerned about 2,300 homes.
Right. Okay. So let's get back on track here. I hear you.
Okay.
I kind of agree, but you know, I don't know.
It
what
can't
the
be just
ins and outs.
It was just a segue, sorry.
Okay.
I know it cannot be decided today.
Okay.
But I wanted to put in another jab. Sorry.
All right. Let's go ahead, Wendy.
This has been discussed at previous meetings.
Sorry. It's not going to be decided. Let's go on.
No, I want to say something. So this has been discussed at previous meetings, and there were several people who said, I definitely do not want my email. Just hold on. I don't want my email address out there. I have a recommendation that when we send out the annual meeting mailing that has to go by mail, that we put in something that is, first of all, an update of that person's information that goes back to Adam so that records can be kept, you know, an email address is kept up date, and a checkbox that says, can your information, your email address be included on a Ruby Star roster?
We have everybody's, I know, but... That's putting it off.
She
I've heard what she said many times.
Let's move on.
Well, there is something called a no contest acceptance. Why?
That's what she's talking about.
No, you're saying sending out in the U.S. mail in prior to the October meeting.
Well,
I was
going to suggest that in our next newsletter, we basically put a question out there. Is there anybody who does not want to be contacted via email? We are putting together a list so we can share information. That'd be simple
enough
to do, wouldn't it?
Unless we can do it online.
Positive confirmation, not negative confirmation. That's negative confirmation. You have to have a positive. Anyone willing.
Phrase it appropriately.
That is the choice of the HOA, John. You said that.
It is not.
Okay. All right. So
it's a privacy thing.
No, but
So Holly, we're going to move on. We're over time.
Thank you.
All right. So anyway, let's continue with our new construction. Basically, was just basically brought up. So we went through that. No action items on this.
Well, Trudy took an action
to get
a draft welcome.
I'm sorry. Yes, we did. I'm sorry. I forgot about that.
Trudy's not getting no pass.
Okay. So we're down to, let's see, we are already 8 minutes over our time limit here, but we've got two more items right here. Who wants to jump on those?
So John sent out a draft, rules and regulations and enforcement policies. Again, this is based on our governing documents that we currently have, plus some additional rules, things like speed limits in the air park and things like that. There's very few of those, actually. So I made some comments on things that were not major. What I'm thinking is we can do this by email again.
Okay. Yeah.
And send those out. I did have, I did want to add, so I liked what John did and I'm very thankful for what he put together. I would like to add a section called aviation rules that's kind of missing. So things like, respect the designated traffic pattern, announce on the Unicom, those sorts of things that, we could add an entire section on for that.
Excellent.
And then I was fine with the enforcement policy. It's similar to what we've done in the past, and I think it's just time to get this through. One thing I didn't like on the enforcement policy was that it required complaints to have the people who identified the violation to put their first and last names. And I think some violations need to be anonymous. I mean, the submitter. There are some, some people are not going to want to put their names.
There's a law for that. And that came out in August of 2016. The law clarified that you have to, those conditions have to be met for the enforcement policy to take effect. If someone wants to make something that's anonymous, then a letter can be sent, a non-enforcement letter, with the required days to comply or anything like that. It's just a notice that there's complaints.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I need to think about that.
That's a state statute that came out, and there's nothing we can do about that.
So basically, we have all complaints have to be anonymous.
They cannot
be anonymous. Okay.
The date, the time, and the person making the complaint when they saw it. It has to mention all of that.
All right. Ted, go ahead.
Hi. I think, was it John that was citing the law of, I think he said 2016?
Correct.
John, if you would share with us the where to find that law, just so that each of us can review it, that would probably be helpful.
Sure, it was discussed in prior board minutes. I'll regurgitate the minutes and reissue them.
No, he's looking for on a website, I think. Where are these statutes listed?
Okay, yeah, it'll be. We discussed it in previous board minutes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
One other thing on the enforcement policy. It's very much, boom, boom, boom. And I think we need to add something to the effect of some statement like the board prefers to work cooperatively with the owner to find an acceptable resolution as opposed to, once it's identified, bam. I think we should be more open to other solutions.
Make the suggestion to give a solution versus
right.
just
encourage the violator to provide a solution.
So I'd like to see all your comments and stuff like that.
So just as a quick background, I grew up in Philadelphia and loved downtown Philadelphia, but someone decided to construct a 2.5-story clothespin as art right next to the city hall. I have a picture if you ever want to see it. It's the most horrendous thing when you see this sculpture of a clothespin with this beautiful city hall. So what we want to do is want to make sure if anybody constructs a clothespin on their property, that we can enforce it within 21 days, the required law, but still have the board's discretion as to whether that 21-day clock starts ticking. So if it's a clothespin, the board can pull the trigger on the clock. If it's not a clothespin, then the board has discretion. So if it doesn't clearly state that now, which is what the intent of offering that was, we can soften it up and make sure it's clear. Does that make sense?
Wow.
This is it.
Nice clothespin.
I have one on order.
You see what I mean? That picture does not show City Hall. There's not a view of it where it shows City Hall in the background. Oh, that's God. Just modern.
Yeah, it looks modern. Yeah. Anyways.
It's right by City Hall. Thank
you. Can I interject really quick? Ambiguity with the rules is going to lead to gray matter. Gray matter gets discussed and it's problematic. But if you want to, you can have an internal policy where when the violation is first notified to our office or to you guys, I do a quick email or phone call that's not part of the rules and regulations and get the story and then present that to you. And then if you want to proceed from that point with your 21-day. If I'm reading the rules and I see there's an out in that rule, I'm going to try and take it. So we want to be really clear. The rules aren't negotiable. They're strict for a reason. But we can have an internal policy where I communicate a lot to you and communicate with that homeowner prior to implementing the 21 days and moving forward. So just whatever you write in your rules, make sure that it just sounded to me like we have rules, but we're also really, we want to be flexible with them, kind of thing.
Not a good idea in writing.
Right, not in writing.
That's exactly
that. But we can definitely create a pattern where, with this board and with this membership, we communicate first prior to pulling that trigger on the 21-day notice.
Yeah, I think that's
like
the
that.
Intent. Yeah.
Yeah.
We just got to figure out the mechanism.
How to do that? Yeah.
Regulations consistently. Okay.
So do you want me to go? I mean, I have a number of things like the speed limit. John had put in 15 miles per hour, and I think it should be 30.
I can put something in here. You know, I have a problem with no trespassing signs. Not that they shouldn't be out there, but I have less of a problem with putting private property. On that same venue, I'd like to slow down, children. Why do we have to post a number? I mean, it's responsible adults here, and everybody knows what fast is. I mean, slow down. I mean, so I know you're always going to get the person that's slowing down for them is 50 miles an hour. But seriously, we start posting. Are you going to be out there with a radar gun to enforce it? How do you know when they're doing 35 or 40? If you're posting a number,
let people know that that's the expectation, you know, and that it gives them something to shoot for. I guess that's the thing.
But Wendy, in your words, you want a community that comes together. And that kind of wording actually helps when you go, hey, slow down, children, slow down, cattle, slow down, airplanes. I said, drive slow. This is our air park. I mean, we can do something a little more than just posting speed limits and stay out. This is private property.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'd like us to work in that direction. Now, the so one.
Are you saying that we shouldn't have a.
Well, let me regress.
I'm trying to understand.
Let me digress a little bit. At the same time, at the edge of that runway, don't enter. There's aircraft, or be careful, there's a runway. There's no negotiation there. I don't want cars crossing that when
right.
I come in. But everywhere else, I'd like us to think about, there's a big difference between putting a 30-mile-an-hour a sign out there and saying, slow down, this is our airport, slow down, drive slow.
Slow is different for different people.
That's fine, but...
I have one comment I'd like to
tell
make
me out
this
here.
Point. Right now, when I'm taxiing out, I have no choice, but I have to go up Ruby. I can't go anywhere else because the wings are too low and too wide. And I have to keep momentum going around because we've got chip seal, and I don't want props going into the rocks going into the prop. And every time I make that turn, I have no idea if I'm going to end up, because I can't see, if I'm going to end up face-to-face with somebody doing about 50 down that road, which happens all the time. And I haven't had a problem yet, but all it takes is one time. And it's rolling the dice for me every time I do. And you go straight across, so you're only in it for a moment. For me,
we still have the same problem. But like you, I don't come to a complete stop.
Yeah,
I come up, I look as I get approached, and then I look what I can,
but sometimes they're small, and they're going past Lost Silver at a pretty good rate.
So what's your recommendation?
I don't think
we need a hard number. I think we should go with stay slow. We're on our own air park. We know there's aircraft running around here, and the aircraft can't stop. They can't see around the corners. Even though there's no stop sign on Ruby, everyone driving down there needs to have caution at every intersection.
That's an HOA lot directly diagonally across from you. Why can't we have one of those reflex or those mirrors set back off the easement?
Mm. Yeah, but that's just one corner.
You can see it. This is the only corner.
No, it's not really the only one.
So the sign for speed limit, I don't think is for the owners. It's not for them. No, it's for the UPS drivers. It's for the construction workers. It's for everybody else.
And they got the LLC managers. Mm-hmm. It's for,
those are the people we have trouble with.
And I'll tell you what, if I was a construction worker and I'm coming in here and I see a 25 mile an hour mm-hmm. speed limit. Let's just go with that, right? Let's just say that. And it's foggy out here, or it's wind blowing. That's too fast. That hard number is too fast. Because the spirit of the thing is we want people to be safe and watch for their aircraft. Well, let's put that on the sign.
Watch for aircraft.
Drive slow.
Well, yield to aircraft. That's the bigger one.
I'm back. Yeah. It's an air park. Yield to aircraft.
They have them all over LaToya. Mm-hmm. Yield to aircraft.
Yeah, it's a reminder. Slow down, yield aircraft.
But they have numbers.
You end up with, we are basically programmed to respect speed limit laws by numbers.
That's the thing that gets me.
It's got to be black and white, and you can't just, everyone's judging.
Okay, here's a suggestion. You have a speed limit and sign, right? And then you've got curves, and you've got a suggested one, which is pretty ridiculous in Arizona.
Yeah.
They're saying 15 for something I can do 50 around.
You can only do it.
Okay. Why not use those signs instead of a hard limit? The 15 mile an hour one that's not an enforceable, but it's a suggested speed for going around all the curves and stuff. Which means very slow, but it doesn't mean that. It means that you can go faster. You're not going to get dinged for going faster. So we could put the 15 mile an hour suggested sign on without having to have that be the hard limit.
Or just basically put a slow watch for aircraft at these intersections.
Mm-hmm. With a suggested 15.
Also, out of keeping the main flow of traffic off the main taxiway, the parallel taxiway along the runway, you lose the auxiliary roads. So somebody is on the not only do I look for aircraft coming in the air, I'm very conscious who's on the main taxiway.
Absolutely.
Because I'm not going to turn nose to nose for an aircraft.
And I can't use the main taxiway. I have to use the runway.
Vehicles that are coming down, because you mentioned that somebody would be coming down the main taxiway 50 miles an hour.
Let's get back to our point here. Ratification of the rules and enforcement policies. We got way off the reservation.
Yeah. So we can discuss this by email, I suppose. But I think the speed limit is for mostly other people and not the people here, because they don't, the UPS driver doesn't know what's safe here. And for him to make the decision,
that's another place.
We all know where the choke points are, so we always know.
Pete, that's another place that the members only on the website would be good for that forum.
So do we table the rules and regs and enforcement until we get the component in there for the aviation?
Well, yeah, I think all of us need to do the homework, and
yes.
I'll send around my comments. I think I'll just go ahead and I'll edit the Word document. Oh, you'll need to send the Word document if I do that.
Okay, I'll send you the Word document. Also, I think it'll be value-add for the executive in the executive session that we go over the full slate of everything that we see out there based on the current rules and regs, and I think that's invaluable input to
yes.
the rules and regs as they stand. So, because I would love to have an executive session where you're way over time.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Are you saying talking about the violations in the executive session? John?
At this point, we're saying the variances from the existing CCRs.
The variance, but why would that be in an executive session?
They're specific to homeowners.
But it doesn't have to do with financial? It doesn't have to do with somebody's health? I mean, and also owner complaints being in last month's executive session. As far as transparency, and I'd like to know what other owner complaints would be, and if it doesn't fit into that statute, then why is it going into the executive session? Yeah, that's a hypothetical question.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, I'm not sure exactly what we can actually talk about in an open public forum and what we can't since
we're
dealing with individuals.
Well, there is that. What's the number, John? You must have it memorized.
It's on the agenda, why you can go into an executive session. And one of them is contemplated litigation. And I think that may be where it falls under. I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I cannot discuss specific homeowner violations in an open meeting.
But it doesn't meet the requirement of the 38-4.
If you'd like, I can give you our attorney's email, and you can ask them.
You
can address it right
there.
We have to move on.
And moving on, Fran and I are leaving, but you can put down in the records that I will be willing to volunteer my labor if Airpark needs anything, because
okay.
me living here would be a lot easier to do that.
Boy, that sounds like a great
opportunity. Give me a good chance to get some more vitamin D.
Okay, there you go.
The chemical's right over here in my hanger right now.
Okay,
the weeds.
So,
thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you,
okay,
sir.
Take care.
So long, folks.
It's 12:30. So,
bye, friend.
Just a note for those who don't know that Adam, their contract with us gives us 2 hours a month for a meeting. So they're already on overtime right now. So it doesn't
So you guys are done with me? I should leave?
So can we have a motion for adjournment?
We didn't go through maintenance needs, but again, we're going to have
runway maintenance needs. Create list and prioritize.
Yes. Yes. Do we actually have a list?
It's on the agenda. So I put what I knew of.
No, I see that's stuff that we need to prioritize. Do we have a list of what's worse?
I did my list. I prioritized mine, but it's going to take 20 minutes probably to go through it and have a discussion.
Okay. So this is basically just maintenance stuff that. So we can basically come up with a plan of attack, and then next meeting we'll vote on spending money on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Can do that by email, I think.
Yeah.
What most associations do is they have a separate committee that deals with the maintenance requirements.
That sounds like a good plan.
They go through iterations of what needs to be done, and they make recommendations to the board.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish, John. Finish. I cut you off.
That was it. So maybe perhaps a road maintenance committee might be formed. And
with HOA members.
With HOA members.
It would need a board member to lead, right? Mm-hmm. All subcommittees must.
Right. Yes, Ted?
Hey, Pete?
Go ahead.
Hi. Unfortunately, I have a flight I have to make, and so I'm going to have to sign off at this time. And I apologize, and if it's possible for anybody to send me a little synopsis of what transpired after I depart, that would be dandy.
Very good. We'll do.
I'll send them the recording.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ted.
Bye.
Take care, Ted.
Okay. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to.
You want to just turn that off now? Because he's
the one there. Yeah, he's the one there. All right. Okay. So we can outside the board meeting go ahead and basically put down our wish list of what we need, what we need to do, where it's at, and then we can go ahead and just get some contacts going for how much it's going to cost. We don't have to do that by a board action.
No.
Okay.
All that can be done by email until you want to actually spend money.
I'm happy to contact. Looks like you need an asphalt company for the majority of what's on the list. I may not know quite all of it, but I'm happy to get some contacts, meet them out here, start getting pricing for
awesome.
You.
We have someone we've been working with, but...
Okay. Yeah, send me their information and we'll put mm-hmm. them on the list because it's nice to get everybody's different mm-hmm. opinions on and prices.
Well, there is one more matter I want to discuss at the meeting. It's really important as I would love to consider doing a reserve study. They cost between $2,000 and $3,000. They come in and they take a look at all the common area property, put it out on a chart, and what needs to be done to it, when, where, and how. They take a look at the current financial situation and make recommendations on how to fund that.
When I was on the board, we were looking into that, and there was I'll have to revisit it. I would be glad to. That there was a computer program that might have been $200 or $300, or and a guide, and that allowed us to go through and follow the procedure and not have to pay $2,000 or $3,000 for an outside study. But yet it was a viable, and I can get that information, and even find out if that is still being offered, because we were looking at that. At one point.
Yeah, I have the names too.
Yeah, I prefer an independent study, something that you can
as opposed
hold
to
up
a
in the air
doing.
And say, hey, you know, this is an independent study and these are the requirements. I think considering the gun that we have, that this board has at their heads for road maintenance and the cost of that, I recommend an independent study rather than.
Okay.
So are we thinking about forming a subcommittee for this?
I think we're going to have to do a subcommittee because we got too much stuff on here to discuss, you know, item by item on board. So we're going to need to find somebody who wants to lead it from the board and then gather members. To
I volunteer for
participation.
That.
Yeah.
For that.
Yeah.
For the reserve study or for the road maintenance?
For the road maintenance.
Yeah, road maintenance. Okay. So.
What board member?
Yeah, what board member? Jeez. Time is everything for me, unfortunately.
Well, it probably shouldn't be you anyway, because you got too much going.
So
I would love to work with Ken. He would be the board member.
I was kind of leaning towards Ken, but he hasn't said anything. He's been very quiet over there.
I would volunteer, but it's easier for somebody that lives here.
And
as
also
opposed to Ted. Now, I'd be willing to give Ted a hand on that.
Ted?
I mean, Ken. Ted, sorry, Ted.
I don't think Ted's
about
that.
Yeah. I'd be willing to give Ken if he wants a hand from this board member.
We're picking on you.
And
I don't think my ideas would parallel members on this roadway maintenance, because I'm pretty hard over on a lot of these things and in the order they're going to be.
But at least you have some knowledge.
Yeah.
Ken, the reason I bring it up is because we had a long talk after we swabbed that runway the last time.
Yeah.
And I was impressed with your insight on it.
Well,
he's good at a lot.
I'm only saying it from an aspect of looking 10 years down the road and what's this air park going to be like.
It changed my opinion back then.
Well, it scares the heck out of me to think there are roads, you know, crumbling. So, you know, a runway first, roads next, and
taxiways.
Affects everything we do. So,
when I do meet the vendors out here, it will be helpful to have somebody who speaks their language as well to point out things, especially because it's an air park, and they may not be as familiar with something like this as they are with a standard HOA. So, I would appreciate the backup and help from anybody. Anyone at all.
I would be happy to be on. No one wants to lead.
The first place is cost. You know, you get started with trying to get the figures going.
Yeah, we've been the committee for a long time, just doing it, right?
Yeah.
And
all right, so let's discuss this amongst ourselves and see if we can come up with a way to do this. And we actually have to have a board member leading the committee, John?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a requirement.
With that, now I sound like a salesman. With that said, can we decide if I, being that we've already forwarded, I've got Michael's permission, can forward that to the board. Do I have permission to use that drone here, especially for this purpose, if asked?
I don't think we're ready to.
If 101 allows you to get permission from now, if I lived outside the airpark and I use it outside the airpark, then I just need to inform the airpark. Inside the airpark, then I need to get members. I thought it was only going to be the people that fly in contact information, but he forwarded that to the board and wanted to make that open.
Okay,
so I really thought that was the right thing because of the quote name of drone, unquote.
Yeah. All right. So we went from road maintenance to drone activity here. Let's go and figure out if there's...
Because those pictures can be here.
I'll tell you what. You want to be the leader of the road maintenance? I'll agree to run the drone anytime you want.
I would totally... it appeals to me. It really does for both purposes. The problem is that it's easier for somebody that lives here. That's why I was willing to give Ken a hand.
Well, maybe Ken would be on the committee. But you'd be the
I'd be
judge.
Happy to be on
maybe
the committee,
I'd be
too.
Maybe I'd be around.
And we can share with you what we know.
Maybe I'd be willing to talk to you.
Thanks, man.
Just willing.
It's a lot of work. I have to say, it's a lot of work.
I may not be here.
So all you have to do is manage it. That's what they told me when I took this job.
I'm not going
to
commit to
this. Judy, it's a rough crowd.
I'm going to commit to this.
Maybe we just do kind of an ad hoc thing.
I'm glad they open support. You don't have the right to for the association to maintain those with a CCNR.
But we've been doing it, and we're going to keep
because
doing it. We have to keep doing it.
Yeah, we have.
In my mind,
it's crazy.
In my mind, there are certain areas of this airpark that I feel that needs to be addressed outside the runway. Mm-hmm. Now, if I was to state that, I'd be accused I'm pushing myself as a board member. And I've heard it, and I'm not going to go there. Okay?
I'm not saying this to you.
I'm just saying I'm making a statement.
So let me translate what he just said.
Yeah, please.
The north side of the airpark is in dire shape right now, and it needs our attention. And Ken lives over there, so he doesn't want to push it. But
because if
I want to recluse myself.
Because it seems like a conflict of interest.
Yeah, there's a conflict of interest, yes.
But there will be other people on the committee.
Sorry, then you don't get my help.
But what about the wash on the west? I thought the west was worse. And then I heard things were crumbling down by your...
Drive around the airport.
Pete, throw me on it, and let's get started.
Okay,
let's just see. Get something started. Mistakes and everything. One step back, two steps
and
forward.
And I'll throw
just,
my listing of priorities.
Let's throw it up there.
Thank you,
man.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay,
Ron,
something to be written.
Yeah, thank you.
Just look, if I don't do well, don't call me names, okay?
No.
Tell me what I did wrong.
Absolutely not.
You need to be on the committee, or what's your goal for the number on the committee?
Ideally three. No, more than three or more.
You have
let me talk it over with Ron here a little
bit. Offline. You want to do it offline?
Let's figure out how many people you want and what skills you're looking for and stuff like that, and we'll go from there.
Yeah,
and then I'll have you invite them once.
Sure, and we'll take that conversation offline with me and you.
Yeah.
And I'll also like to take that conversation with Ken. All right, and I'll talk to Ted about it too.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that good?
Holly has volunteered, so your name's in there. So we'll make sure.
Well, obviously, I don't have any experience, but I like to use the telephone.
Okay. All right. Okay, so
that's
where
that has to be with Rob.
Make a motion that we adjourn our meeting. Right.
Could I just ask one? I'll just limit it.
Just be quick.
Okay. Well, I mentioned this to Wendy when we met in December, that we used to have the list of the checks that were issued on the treasurer's report.
Okay, this is the last time I'm going to say this. Sorry, no offense, but we've been through this the third time I've had to say this. Detailed reports are provided to all members, including the disbursements journal. You are more than welcome to come to Adam LLC and inspect any record you want. Just make an appointment with me or Trudy, and you're welcome to inspect anything you want.
Okay.
Detail goes to the board. Basis goes to the...
Okay, so a request of the last 2 years...
You may come to the office, make an appointment, and
okay.
We'll provide...
Do you have your calendar right now?
I don't.
You guys can do this offline. We have to...
All right, yeah. Thank you, John.
Okay, you bet.
Okay, so, again, I would like to make a motion over your adjournment meeting.
Second.
Okay, it's been seconded by Wendy.
All favor?
Amen. Or is that yay?